The Don and Mike Building, 3 FM, 106.7 WJFK, Manassas, Washington, D.C.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
La, 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 la.
Well, the radio world...
Move that out of the way.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Radio.
The radio world is buzzing because CBS has rehired our former nemesis, enemies, Opie and Anthony.
Brilliant.
But as always, the company is not letting us down.
Oh, right. Good.
Just moments ago, our agent was on the phone with Vice President Scott Herman.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And... the company has made a firm promise to us that we are going to be widely syndicated on their lowest-rated AM stations in their smallest market.
Yes! Yeah.
Congratulations to us.
Yeah, baby! And just let me say this. Has anybody ever heard of a little thing called Super TV?
They're telling us this is a metal antenna you put on your balcony. And we are going to be broadcast live on it.
Once you unscramble it.
Two men side by side.
That's right. Super TV. You got a good memory.
I don't have a balcony.
Touch the motion, mate.
Got to get a balcony if you want to hear the show on Super TV.
I have Super TV.
And a very lucrative deal.
Yeah, sure.
Because, as you know, we are just beside ourselves going, oh, my gosh. Opie and Anthony got all these great markets where David Lee Roth failed in.
Right.
What do we get?
Yeah.
And they said, guys,
it's a party.
We got a lot of radio stations that we're going to be dumping very soon.
Yeah.
All of them are low rated. Many cases, 500 watts or less.
Wow.
All of them on the AM dial.
Of course.
And impossible positions to find in the cities that they broadcast to, that they allegedly broadcast to.
Perfect. Are you going to tell them the other part?
Go ahead, Mike. It's a special day for you as well.
This might be premature, but they're also negotiating with about 30 to 40 different college campuses to put us on their carrier current college station.
Wow.
Yeah. Look out. I'm not kidding.
Hey, and you know, some schools you've heard of.
Really?
UCF. University of Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Manchester Community College in Manchester, Connecticut, close to my hometown. I couldn't be more thrilled.
That is great.
Right here in Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah.
Montgomery College. And we're holding out for the big enchilada. They just made it to the Final Four. Come on, George Mason, 13th grade.
And they told us that's a pipe dream. They said that's probably not going to happen.
My comments about George Mason University before they won all those games, admitted to the Final Four, being the 13th grade, have apparently really soured the deal.
Yeah, that's screwed the deal up.
Clear the nation on low-power college FM frequencies.
Apparently the dean of radio stations at the college said, what was he thinking?
We need to talk to Dean Flagle about
what was he thinking.
Don't bite the hand that might feed you. So,
but anyway, we also are going to be tape delayed. Well, they're going to send CDs to Bartenders Academy.
There you go.
And yeah, we'll be played in the background there.
It's a big day for us.
Should be fun.
It's a huge day. My God, who wouldn't be thrilled today?
The Don and Mike Show goes to college.
We are very, very excited because, you know, I guess with this big announcement, they felt it necessary to, I don't know, throw us some kind of a bone.
And we said, guys, we're happy. We're happy.
We're fine.
And they said, no, we got a deal for you.
No, you know, because we thought that there might be some concern. How about this? And that's how they started. How about this? No. How about this?
That's how you know.
It was terrific.
So that's it.
Oh, and jackets. He said, maybe jackets.
Maybe.
That was a maybe. Come on, don't get ahead of yourself.
All right,
really?
Well, I'm throwing it all in there, even though it was... Look, you know, sometimes, most of the time this company ignores us, but these were all things they said might happen.
Wow. And, you know, I mentioned him by name, Scott Herman. He was on the phone. And all of you people on our fan site, don't read anything into this. Okay, really. We did talk with the guy today, but something unrelated that will never affect anything on the radio.
Right. No. Whatever.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing to talk about.
I was playing dreidel.
All there is to talk about is this fantastic deal that we've just inked. That's right. It's multimedia. Uh-huh. It's Super TV.
I still don't get that.
A bunch of, as many college radio stations as we can get to carry the show.
Okay.
Now, here's part of the deal.
Uh-huh.
Kind of unique in broadcasting, but we're putting our ass, our nuts on the line.
Yep.
We are actually going to pay the college stations out of our own pocket to run the show in the hopes that the college kids, that crowd, they might get a slice of what it would be like to be at home with mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Because, let's face it, to a young 18-year-old punk who thinks he knows it all and is just going to college for his freshman year.
We're my two dads.
But you've always been number one in 18-year-old punks.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Buzz.
It doesn't matter. This is just going the extra step.
Uh-huh.
We're going further now.
We want to cover our bases.
I understand.
And, speaking of the other side,
yes,
don't want to get ahead of myself like Mike did with the jacket thing.
I apologize for that.
Very close to, two deals. First would be, are you familiar with the Muzak system?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Sure. It's in elevators and grocery stores.
That they play mainly in retirement homes?
That too, yeah. No, these days.
It's not the Muzak that you hear like if you go to... any store that's an anchor store in a mall. I'm talking about
the old
music that's specifically for people who are there to spend the rest of the time in bed.
That's right. Count the minutes.
Well, there's a very good chance that we may clear a deal there. And eventually, the dream is then, once we get the college radio thing,
right,
to have this show via satellite through Super TV piped in to every retirement home in America.
Yeah, right now that is also preliminary because they're thinking about not having our regular show, but have our show transcribed and then interpreted by two guys with British accents.
For an older audience.
You know, like when you hear a Rolling Stones song on Muzak and it sounds slightly different, but it's the same thing.
I see.
It'll be our show with the exact same things being said, but just British guys.
Just different notes.
We're very excited. Uh-huh. Gosh, we're excited.
It should be.
You know, and, it's, multifold, the reasons that we have to be excited. So, again, thank you.
Do I have to buy a Super TV to hear the show? I don't get the Super TV.
Buzz, now here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
When you buy the show on Super TV,
yeah,
what you're going to get is exactly the same show that you get here on this.
Yeah, but I need a special box with special wires?
Yeah, you need an antenna.
Okay.
And that's hooked into a box.
Uh-huh.
It's the old type of antenna. They used to call them rabbit ears.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah. So.
And depending on what side of the apartment complex you're on, that'll affect your reception.
Big day for the show.
Well, sure.
As I mentioned, an infinite amount of crappy stations that the company has told us that they're going to put us on.
That's great.
Not you.
Our specialty.
Just until they decide to sell them.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then we've got this sweet side deal with Super TV and our mega deal to go to all of the college radio stations that Mike and I can afford because it's our money.
We'll be everywhere.
We're betting on ourselves.
What was said to us was, Don and Mike, these houses are in tremendous disrepair, and they wouldn't sell on their own. But when we put you in the front yard, you're the landscaping. You're the new landscaping. We're the special landscaping that's going to brighten up the houses.
Uh-huh.
Before they put them on the market.
They said to us that this thing with the retirement homes is a slam dunk.
Oh, that's good to know.
That's the only real certain thing, right?
They said we're going to have to tone it down a bit. So we'll have to have like a PG and a very old, VO and a PG version.
We'll have to talk louder.
Yeah, that's true, Buzz. I hope it doesn't affect our regular broadcast, the college broadcast, or the Super TV broadcast.
Yeah.
Well, we got a book of sayings, though, where that's going to be easier. My word. That's one of them.
So the deal is that we're going to get the retirement homes. We're going to get the deal to be pumped into every retirement home in America. And then Mike and I have to pay the college stations out of our own dime.
Pay to play.
But we think we can do that.
Now, initially, all of this that we're talking about will be a net loss of listeners for our show. But they tell us that within 12 years, that will be, we'll break even.
That's
and we'll get right back to where we are, where we were Friday.
Wow.
B-E, that's our new motto, B-E-2018. Break even in 2018.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. 12 years from now.
Very, very
that's
exciting.
Really,
that's ambitious. You guys are dreamers, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the company's behind us.
Yeah.
The book deal.
Book?
Coloring.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. As many as we want.
About time.
Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, serious.
Mm-hmm. And they'll be sold at dollar stores.
I think that's nice.
No, Mike, when apparently we have a different idea about that. When I was on the phone for that negotiation.
What? Yeah, what's wrong? We agreed it was coloring books.
Yes, but I thought it was coloring books as many as we want.
For ourselves,
maybe
the color.
You know, you're right. I misinterpreted.
Because I said to them, I go through six or seven a day, and they said, how many talking a week? Don't you remember? And I said, maybe 100.
I completely forgot. I thought they were going to have, like, our likenesses in coloring books.
No.
Just,
told them how much I love coloring books.
So we get coloring books.
Yeah.
But not the crayons.
Right. We have to provide our own crayons.
Mm-hmm. They said they'd give us number 2 lead pencils.
We're very excited.
It's a great deal.
I think, really, it's just what's neat about it is because a lot of people are saying this deal is, mm-hmm. you know, to the naked eye, desperate. But I don't think so. I think this is going
to
work.
Did you get the pre-show drive-in theater deal you were hoping for? I know you wanted to be on the little speakers with the few remaining drive-ins in America. I was hoping you'd get the drive-ins that you want.
Why are you being...
See, this is what the drive-ins sound like now.
Not that it was moving at lightning speed. This little self-indulgent riff. There you go. That would be the official end of our statement now.
I would want the drive-ins.
I know you would. Let's say goodbye as we say hello. Or as the Beatles say, you say goodbye and I say hello. It's goodbye to a friend. I'm sure the name John Guth. Or is it Guth, Robbie? Hey, it's John Guth. I'm sure it means nothing to anybody.
Don't ring no bell to me.
Well, to anybody who's been a fan of our show from college radio to the nursing home, that was a couple of years ago. There were a couple of losers in Seattle. I sat in front of a theater.
Oh, those guys.
And waited for Star Wars.
Yeah. That's right. One of them died?
Yep.
Oh.
John did. Carbon monoxide.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
He's gone.
So the Twyden guy, I remember that name because Matt Lauer has trouble pronouncing it.
Here they are.
Two members of the Seattle Star Wars Society are giving new meaning to the term diehard fan. They kicked off the new year by getting in line for Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, 4.5 months before the May 16th release of the film. John Guth and Jeff Twyden, I think it is, are outside Cinerama in Seattle, Washington, waiting. John and Jeff, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
I'm trying to do...
Hi, John and Mike.
Jeff and John, we appreciate it. Good luck to you, and maybe we'll check in with you as the 129 days tick off.
Please.
Yep.
Thanks.
See you, Don and Mike.
Isn't he great?
So the guy that said hi to us is still with us.
Yeah.
Right?
Jeff Twyden.
Let
me see. Twyden.
That's what Matt's
called. Passed away. That's too bad. What am I forgetting, Rob?
We had Twyden on during the last Star Wars thing. Goose didn't do the second or third.
Is it true that he took his own life the Marcus Welby way?
Yeah.
Yep. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
He survived by his partner.
His partner Vito.
Yeah. Vito.
His partner Vito. So anyway, farewell, friend. He was a good guy, and really, those guys kicked our ass when they went on the Today Show and screamed our names, as dumb as that sounds. So he will be missed. Yeah. Now, Mike, I guess today the reason that you're wearing your Vito I'm a Faggot outfit would not be out of tribute, since you did not know that this man who was gay and a friend of the show had passed away.
Right.
This is simply what you chose to wear to work today. Your gay Billy Idol Vito is a fag vest.
Yes. Yeah.
A leather vest.
A leather vest and all black. And the only thing missing is my nipple rings and my leather hat. That's why.
I'll say.
You know, the funny thing a lot of people have asked me. They said, you know, Jason, did you ride your motorcycle into work today? I said, no. I didn't ride my motorcycle in. I walked to work today.
Now.
I walked.
Now, what does your girlfriend say?
Yes.
Now, listen.
She didn't say anything. Her boss or her coworker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they worked together at the court reporting firm, but I mean, they said, he said I looked like a dandy.
You know what that means.
That means I should have gotten that, maybe I should have gotten a different kind of vest. But I was too warm to wear the jacket, jacket, but I was too cold to wear just a T-shirt.
Really, think of Vito when those guys walked in on him in The Sopranos in that gay bar.
But Vito had a hat, a cap, a leather cap.
Yeah,
Mike has no leather
Mike's
cap.
Got his leather Billy Idol Vito vest on.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely.
It is a Harley Davidson vest.
Yeah.
Sure it is.
It is.
No, it is.
Okay. Look. All right. Yeah, I believe
hold
you.
Hold on.
You
got the big, it off. I'm taking it
oh,
off.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go. Here's it has lace on the sides? See? There. That's what it says. That I think that has something right there. That should be.
I think
it says
Sock
Harley
has
Davidson.
Something to do with that.
It says he's not going to tell you that. It's got Harley Davidson motorcycles on the
it's
bottom.
Very small. The writing is very small.
Because
it's a very, very, very gay vest.
The lace on the side suggests no shirt.
And yes, it does have lace on the side.
It's well, like lace-up side.
It's
you
like
know,
a
to
Robin
make
Hood.
Adjusted.
It's like a Robin Hood type lace thing on the side
for fit and.
No,
sexy.
Come on! Don't take your shirt off. Oh,
oh no!
Don't take your
shirt
off. Please.
This is no way to start a week.
Come on! Don't do this. God, don't take your shirt off.
This is the best way to start a week. Oh, see, it says Harley Davidson motorcycles on the back, making it clear.
I'm going to go down and see Colette.
Okay, hold on.
I'm going to go down and see Colette.
All right, now Mike doesn't have a shirt on.
See how you can peek in the sides where it's laced up?
He's just going down to see Colette wearing nothing but his Billy Idol vest with no shirt on. Mike O'Meara.
Seems to be some delay. Mike hasn't passed. There he goes.
WKFK.
Colette, I got a surprise coming for you.
Okay.
Isn't he lovely?
There he goes.
Colette? Oh, she's gone.
Yeah.
That's it, gone home for the day. Okay, for God's sakes, put your shirt on, Vito.
I feel very white.
Please, guys! It's just a joke! It's just a joke, guys!
Go to New Hampshire, Mike.
I didn't mean anything by it.
Go to New Hampshire. Go to the...
What a lovely art gallery.
You have a good eye. That's the most expensive piece in the store.
Please, guys.
Go have your happy jacks or whatever those things are.
Okay.
Okay, now...
Thank you, Mike.
Now that you've submitted yourself to the fact that you are...
Ridicule again?
You are wearing the vest.
Mm-hmm.
Something just for you, my best buddy.
All right, hold on.
I told you this before the show today.
You sound a little like Barker there.
My best buddy, Mike O'Meara, who spays and neuters all of his children.
Yeah.
Mike O'Meara. Well, he wants to make sure his girls don't do anything that,
boys,
watch it. I'm just trying to fill while you're putting your shirt back on.
He's going to have to be shirtless the rest of the show, clearly, because
this
he's having trouble getting the shirt on.
This is losing a bit. You know, the problem might be...
I'm a mime.
I'm
a pregnant mime.
The nipple clamps. Getting right. Your shirt over the nipple clamp.
All right, God.
There you go. Okay, now.
God.
Mike.
Yes.
How often have we ever gotten anything that we can use from the Weather Channel?
Very rarely, including a forecast.
Never. They've got a show called It Could Happen Tomorrow.
I've seen them promo that.
I've seen it, too. If you watch the, you get your local on the 8s on the Weather Channel.
Right.
They always, it's a Buzz Burbank production, because really it's just meant to incite fear. It's a totally hypothetical situation.
For fun.
Like, I know a couple of weeks ago it was like Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Dallas, Texas. What would happen if an 8.5 earthquake leveled Dallas, Texas?
You don't hear about Dallas getting an earthquake.
No, and then it was another one was something like Denver.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen if they got no rain all summer and it dried up and just crawled inside the earth, a big sinkhole? It could happen tomorrow in Denver. Right. So anyway,
imagine, so they do this all the time.
Yeah. Imagine my surprise
uh-huh.
when they say, "And tomorrow night, it could happen to you."
Yes.
Sacramento, California.
Hello.
What if the levees broke and the city was flooded off the map?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What if?
I mean, they've got levees in Sacramento?
Yes.
Yeah, this is going to be boner city for
Where's
you,
Where's the water near Sacramento?
Everywhere, apparently.
Really?
And
I didn't know that.
It's built at the confluence of two rivers.
Oh, and okay. All right, good.
Here you go, because I know you love Sacramento, and hi to everybody on KHTK.
Hi, Sacramento.
Hi.
Hello! La, la, la.
This is like Mike's dream scenario. Let's roll just a little bit of this.
Please. Sacramento. It's California's state capital. But this beautiful state capital has one major problem.
Oh, my God.
See, I knew you were going to love this.
How exciting.
I knew you were going to love this.
A deadly phalanx of powerful storms sends waves of floodwater across a fertile valley. 250 miles turned into an inland sea. Torrents of water pouring into crowded neighborhoods. Tens of thousands of people lose everything. It happened in New Orleans.
Mike's dream.
And it could happen again in Sacramento.
Wow.
If its levees are breached.
You know, wow.
If I didn't tell you that was from the Weather Channel, wow. I could have played you that and said, like, hey, someone sent us a funny gag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have there been, in history, any, like, terrible floods in Sacramento?
Like, in 89, they had a bad flood.
In 89, they had a bad flood?
But they've got houses so close to the levee now that if the levee breaches, they'll have 15 feet of standing water.
Here's really? Another one for you, Mike.
Sacramento. It's California's state capital and home to over 400,000 people. It's the economic and cultural hub of an entire region. But this beautiful state capital has one major problem.
Yeah, it does.
It sits on a massive floodplain, California's Central Valley.
And I'll give you one more.
I don't mean to cackle like a schoolgirl.
No.
I'll give you one more before the break, and then we'll come back and officially start the show. Just one more, because
okay.
You're going to like... The more it goes on, I know the more you're going to like it when they talk about just how eventually...
Really?
If, you know, it could happen tomorrow... It's your dream scenario. A world without Sacramento.
Without Sacramento.
But scientists worry that one day, these levees will break, and thousands of tons of water will come crashing through Sacramento.
Oh, that's a horrible scenario.
Yeah. Doesn't that almost sound like something that we might have made if we were doing a fake movie?
Yes, it does.
Directed by Mike O'Mara.
But scientists worry that one day, these levees will break, and thousands of tons of water
thousands
will come
of tons.
Crashing through Sacramento.
Thousands of tons. Yeah. That'll cut down on those callers.
But it could happen tomorrow.
Could happen tomorrow.
But it could happen tomorrow.
Well, if I know the people that we get to that call us from Sacramento, this might be... they might be excited about this.
They're looking forward to it.
Yeah,
hello. Don and Mike Show. Hi there.
Yeah, this is true. Actually, Arnold was just talking with President Bush last week trying to get government assistance to get these levees rebuilt.
Well, I would say that that's a great sign that if the Weather Channel's running a show about the impending, apocalyptic death of Sacramento, and you have Arnold Schwarzenegger
along with the president, you've got two great minds working on it.
Good luck. Move north, my friend.
You're in good hands. Hi, Mr. President. It's
fine.
Really going to be wet. And
but it could happen
tomorrow.
Hello, Don.
Thousands of tons of water.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, you talking to me?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I got 4-pack of diapers because I have a little girl, and do I need to go get my kids out of school real quick? And should I call my wife at work?
Sacramento. It's California's state capital. But this beautiful state capital has one major problem.
Yep.
People that call this show.
Yes. More asses per square mile.
The best thing about the documentary was a look at some of the residents of the town. And the people
okay,
that John
Boy.
To build their house.
Let's just wait until we do the segment.
It was a good show.
So you watched it all, huh, Rob?
Over
again.
It's good. All right, so we got a big one for you today. And we'll be back from college campuses to nursing homes to
very
America.
Excited about our new opportunity.
And again, Super TV, you know, please. Keep the, and I think the press is here.
Sure.
I think it's, everybody's heard of it, Penny Shopper.
Yep.
Now, I don't know, is that her name or is that the name of the magazine she writes for?
That's her magazine. Also out there is Highlights.
And Valpak.
Mike, Valpak's going to be a big, big part of this show.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to want to throw away those coupon packs anymore.
No. How does this sound? Okay, don't get too excited. Valpak recaps of the Don and Mike Show, coming to your mailbox soon. Each one has a different bit.
Nice.
Handwritten.
Now listen, just want to say, anything we've said is just in the talking stages.
Yeah, they're looking into it.
And the other one that I'll throw at you is, you know, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
If you get what I'm saying, we've always talked about having the show underwritten by a client.
So to speak.
So, you know, depends.
It could happen tomorrow.
Well, don't say anything more. Just a little hint here. We don't want to throw water on any argument.
But it could happen tomorrow.
We got a break. We'll be right back, everybody, including Sacramento.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, now, just ahead of the Laughing Place and the start of the show,
yes,
a variety of tapes that could be played.
But it could happen tomorrow.
we got all those. Now, we could play maybe what I think was just IMHOROFLLOL, greatest moment ever on The Sopranos.
Yep.
When Lauren Bacall takes the punch to the face.
Pretty amazing.
That's strong.
Great. I mean, great Sopranos last night.
Mm-hmm.
Got some cuts from Steven Seagal's new album.
Ooh.
And not only is he an accomplished actor.
Right.
And remember we were talking about his speed drink.
Yes.
His caffeinated beverage.
Something Dragon. Wasn't there something Dragon?
Sure. He now has a record out. And we have some sample cuts.
Oh, goody.
From his album. And then there's the wild card here.
Wow.
Which is... Joe brought in something.
Huh.
And all it says is Mexican Americans.
Okay.
Now, I've not previewed this. I take it back. I heard 3 seconds of it, and it sounded like Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Okay.
So keep in mind.
I know Joe's a big fan.
Used to tour with them.
Hello?
Dave's not here, man. It's me, man. Open the door. Dave's not here, man.
Where's Dave? I need the stuff.
Dave? Dave's not here, man.
Dave's not here, man.
Is this Cheech and Chong you brought?
Yeah, it's from their second movie. It's a little something for the... just kind of goes along with what's going on in the country these days.
Oh, great.
Very good. So Joe making,
way to be timely and
Joe
topical.
Making an editorial statement.
Uh-huh. He's a regular Paul Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, well, we'll go with it.
Wouldn't say.
All righty, then.
We'll go with it. Hey, good day to you, sir.
Good day.
Mexican Americans don't like to just get into gang fights. They like flowers and music and white girls named Debbie, too. Mexican Americans are named Chata and Chela and Chema and have a son-in-law named Jeff.
All right, Joe.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early in the morning, but they have to, so they do it real slow.
That's right.
Mexican Americans love education, so they go to night school and they take Spanish and get a B. Mexican Americans love their nanas and their nonos and their ninas and their ninos.
Well, we'll start with this instead, I think.
Sacramento. It's California's state capital. But this beautiful state capital has one major problem.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
All right.
Hello.
Today.
Hello.
Oh, she was Trey Effable. In this video, Patti Smyth,
great mouth,
Scandal.
Hello.
She now uses that great mouth on John McEnroe.
That's right.
And his tennis balls.
Brother, what can I do to help you?
You think he shaves?
Hello.
Hope so. His balls.
Yeah.
There it is again, that topic. And I'm yelling at you for wearing a veto vest. And I'm openly wondering if John McEnroe shaves his balls.
Openly. Yeah, well, it's possible.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hi there. Oh, and hold on, where's this kid at?
Hello.
There's Julia. Now it's time to bring in...
Ta-da!
Which reminds me, I see with all of the Sopranos tapes that we have, we did not isolate the moment last night when Tony said, one of the guys is retarded. It was when they were sitting in the Bing, and they were discussing somebody, and he said, oh, come on, everybody knows that guy's retarded.
Right. It was Vito Jr. Not Vito Jr.
The guy that flew with Christopher to California.
We got to have that tomorrow.
Then tomorrow you will have it.
And he would be the only character right now on The Sopranos who could fit that description.
Yeah.
The guy that went out to California with Christopher.
Right.
No question.
What he says to Lauren Bacall. Congratulations.
That's not the same guy. The guy that goes out to California Tony says retarded is the guy that comes out after that.
The fat guy.
The guy that speaks to Lauren Bacall is Christopher's California connection.
Okay, right. I got him mixed up.
Oh, yeah, I will get that for you tomorrow.
So the guy that I'm thinking of is the guy that saw Lauren Bacall and said, enjoy your success.
Yeah.
When they were by the pool.
Enjoy your success.
Well, either way, Tony Soprano said the same thing that John Wayne says every day about Rob.
He's mentally retarded.
How is? Just wondering, how is? My solitude.
How is your son?
Yeah. I don't know. He was away. I spoke, but I didn't see him. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Sacramento and all the ships at sea. They give new meaning to the word hitting on Lauren Bacall. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Robbie, and this is it, everybody. This is it.
Yep.
The Don and Mike Show. And it's a new episode, everybody, on this Monday.
Monday!
04-24. Hello?
It bumped.
It bumped?
What do you mean it bumped?
When you pulled the tape down and I tried to catch this dropping when it bumped.
Goodbye to her.
Well, so much for the music for the beginning of today's show.
Oh, man. That's such a good song. Sure, it was just starting to get good.
Yeah, rocking it.
Well, we're going to start it over again?
No, we don't have time for that.
Can't do that. No, anyway, it's... hi, bud.
Hi, Donald.
No, he's not retarded.
Well, Burbank here.
Let's see. Phone numbers, internet site, internet stream.
Look at that stream, cloudy.
There you go. Okay, so...
We're done with all that now, right?
Yeah, it serves no purpose.
Music stops, you cut it all out.
I know. Where are you at?
Right about where we left off.
Oh, no, there wasn't 2 minutes left in that song.
It's a 4-minute song.
Nah, there was like maybe a minute left.
All right.
But still, you can't recreate the magic. It's gone now. Forget it.
The moment.
I don't know. I'm feeling kind of magic.
Forget about it.
No, forget it. Really forget it. Yeah. We've already done it. You know, we've given out the information. Phone numbers?
Mm-hmm.
We should know the phone number. It's unlisted. Listen, we give it all the time. Okay?
Right.
Internet, we're there.
Yeah.
iPod, we're there.
Google it.
You got to get Phil Leone to fix it.
Is that his last name on The Sopranos? Phil's name? What is it? Leone or Leonardo?
Leonardo, isn't it?
Leotardo?
The fag sea sucker married my cousin, Tony.
He should be gone. A lot of guys want to kill Vito.
Yeah. It's great. And hi, welcome to the show, everybody. Okay. This weekend,
yes,
you'll be glad to know that I did go to two separate hair cutteries.
What, two?
With my VIP card.
Did you get trimmed?
I only got a haircut in one of them.
Uh-huh.
And in the second one, I simply asked for my neck to be shaved.
Wow.
And for my beard to be trimmed.
And free.
Free. Now, what a pain in the ass. When the lady last week called from hair cuttery and said she's worked there 19 years and she's never heard of such a thing.
Never seen one, yeah.
Well, imagine my surprise. I was out running a bunch of errands.
Right.
Including buying mulch. You know, nothing to do with that Craig Wilson column we had last week about how if it stinks, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I refuse to see why. There's a guy, a great guy, that does a lot of work around my house.
Right.
And there was a certain amount of money that I would have to pay to have him mulch the entire place. And
right.
He did the front yard, and...
Mexican Americans don't like to just get into gang fights.
And then he said that they would cost this much money to do the backyard.
Right.
And I thought, well...
Mexican Americans don't like to just get
into... That sure is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Just to do the backyard.
Very expensive.
I can do the backyard.
Sure.
Yeah.
What the hell? I'll let them put the pile of the stuff in my yard. Mm-hmm. I can do that.
Hell, you get a pool membership for that.
Big. Stop it, Mike. That's for Buzz.
I'm sorry.
Big mistake on my part. But when I was out, getting this sweet deal for the ton of manure that I had dropped in my driveway, I did go past a couple of hair cutteries. I went to the one in Sterling, Virginia.
Ah.
I also went to the one in Arlington, Virginia.
And you flashed the card?
Now, I did, as I was told by the hair cuttery vice president, when I got the VIP card in the mail.
Uh-huh. Now, and that is lick your forehead and stick it to your forehead as you walk in?
When you go into your local hair cuttery,
generally speaking, you either write your name down or there's a computer terminal and you type your name in.
Right.
And it says, do you have the stylus you want? No.
Right.
So I go in and just type my name in, and I just stood there and waited until someone caught my eye.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and it was super crowded, like 10:30 Saturday morning.
Yeah, that's their peak, I think.
I mean, jammed. And it seemed like quadruplets were in there. Every mother had identical quadruplets.
Wow.
That all needed haircuts.
No quints?
It could have been
no quintuplets.
Like a bowl of children.
It was plenty. Yeah, thank you, Buzz. A bowl of kitties.
All right.
So I say to the woman, excuse me. And she says, we're very busy.
Maitre D.
Have you signed in? I said, yes, but I have this card, which enables me to get my hair cut whenever I like, and I'd like to get it cut right now with the next available stylist.
Way to go.
You shouldn't have to say all of that.
No.
Should just flash the card.
I was going on the thought that the woman that called
last
week.
Do you know who I am?
Right. I thought what the woman said last week was probably true.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen him.
So.
You might know me.
She says, I'm going to have to get you the manager.
I'm kind of a celebrity.
So. I figure, you know, I've got to do it to talk about it on the air.
Right.
I said I would do it, and plus, the place that I had to go, there was a hair cuttery right there.
Here's the important thing to point out. I believe you got your haircut last weekend, so you would not have been in need of a haircut. So you were doing this just to do the experiment.
No, when I went in, I just said...
When you really need a haircut now, you'll have the systems down.
Right. So she said, can you wait for the manager?
Uh-huh.
And I said, sure, but, you know... VIP card.
Now, already, in my opinion, your VIP card is not delivering what it says it's
right. No, I found
they shouldn't have to get a manager. They should be trained.
Mike, the woman comes up, and she looks at it, and she says, because, like I said, it looks like a credit card. It's embossed.
Yeah.
Okay. She said, I've never heard of this.
Exactly.
I said, there's a number on the back. And she said, oh, okay. I'll call it. Right. Give me one moment.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood right there, and she looked at the card and had to put her glasses on because it's very tiny.
Yes.
And she goes, dee, 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 dee. Mm. Yes, hello. This is, you know, this is Mabel C., and I'm at the I'm at the hair cuttery in Sterling, Virginia. And I have a gentleman here, Don Geronimo, who has a VIP. Yes, I can. Uh-huh. And immediately I see the disappointment in her face.
Which is good for you.
She goes, oh, and looks at me and gives me that smile that says, you ass.
Yeah.
Because she wanted to turn you away.
She said.
Was she the type of person that wanted to turn you away?
Yeah, of course. She said, okay, real phony. She said, okay, yes, all right, bye-bye. She said, well, she gave me the card back. She said, you're right. She said, the next available stylist will take you, if you'll please have a seat. I imagine it'll be less than 5 minutes. So then, keep in mind, you know, you go to a hair cuttery, it's like going through customs in Istanbul. I mean, it's crowded, Jack, and it smells like people.
So that's when you hold up your card and go, under 5 minutes, you don't seem to understand.
So I'm,
I want her to stop cutting his hair because I want to be taken next.
It was a very long 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And when the woman came back, whoever the next woman was that was available to cut hair, she came up front and she just said, this is the only part that was embarrassing, Don Geronimo.
Oh.
And I was like, I was sitting right there. I said,
yeah.
Right here. She said, come on back. So I sit down.
Man.
She says, what can I do for you? I said, actually, I just had a haircut last week. I got something I got to go to today. And I did have something I had to go to.
Right.
So I said, clean it up just a little bit. Just clean up the edges.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like shave my neck.
Right.
So she said, okay. So she did it. And then she said, she took me up front. And she said, okay, how do you want to pay for this? And I said, VIP card. I said, ask your manager. Manager came over. So I give her $20 and I said, thank you very much. And I'm leaving. I'm thinking, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah.
This is pretty funny. Now I can actually talk about this on the air.
Right.
Well, I'm going to the place. I'm in the truck and I'm going to the place to get the manure. And we're going to go to get this manure lowered into the mulch.
Right.
Yeah. When I get the stuff into the truck, what's right there? A hair cuttery.
Did you want? Oh, so you just got a little trim, and you didn't get your neck shaved yet.
No, she did shave my neck.
Right.
But
okay.
As I was leaving, I was doing this thing where you feel, and I was feeling like the back of my neck, and I thought, you know what? I didn't want to be a prick when I was in there because it's for free.
Right.
But it's like, she really didn't do it close enough.
Didn't quite get it.
Didn't do it close enough. And I had just gotten a haircut. I mean, if I got any more hair cut off, I would look like a chemo patient. So what happens is I'm going to get the mulch, and I see it's a strip mall, and all the things are there. There's the phone store. There's, you know, the bagel place. There's the Starbucks. There's the Hallmark store. And, oh, haircuttery.
It's right there.
So I think, what the hell? And I'm doing this now strictly for the show.
Right.
Strictly for the show.
Right.
Because I don't have anybody with me. I'm not putting on a show for anybody. I'm just telling you, I go in, and again, it's like being at the passport office this time.
Wow.
With everybody that's trying to get into this. Well, yeah, okay. Number two, thank you.
Mexican Americans, don't
but not just them.
Everybody.
I mean, everybody, let me just say this. At this particular haircutter, everybody that looked different than me.
Mexican Americans.
So, not just Mexican Americans.
No.
I go in and I say hi. I type my name in. The lady's ringing somebody up and I show her the VIP card.
Yeah.
She reads it and she says, oh, she's a listener of the show. She said, is this a joke? I said, no, it's not a joke. I said, I'm here because I'm going to talk about this on the radio on Monday. And really, I just got a haircut. She looks at me. I said, I just got a haircut like an hour and a half ago. I said, but didn't shave my neck enough. And you know what I've always really wanted to do? I said, and I do this when I go to a fancy barber. So I have my beard trimmed. So it looks even and
neat.
And also, I'd like my eyebrows trimmed. They do that when I go to the fancy barber as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of looked at me funny. Now she's a listener of the show, and she said,
we've never trimmed a beard, sir.
She said, okay, come on back, I'll take you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of people waiting, you know, and she just took me right back.
You're a VIP. What was your total time in the chair?
Maybe 4 minutes.
Good.
4 minutes tops. Yeah.
You look good.
She shaved my neck.
You flashed your credit card.
Yeah. I gave her $10.
Right.
Gave her $10, mm-hmm. and she didn't question it.
It's nice that you're tipping. I think that's very kind of you.
I said to her, if you have any questions about the validity of this card, I'm not kidding about this, call the haircuttery over in Sterling. They just do, or just call the 800 number.
Right.
And she said, okay. And I was talking to her for a second. Her name is Nellie's Julie. Her friends called her Jules. I told her I would mention this. She has a name like the guy in Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh.
And she said, to the best of her knowledge, she does not think that Ryan Seacrest has one of these cards.
Ah, how would she know?
I don't know.
There are seven.
She just said she...
When Ryan Seacrest is on one of his many visits to Virginia?
Yeah. She said... she said, it's funny that they sent you the card, and it's funny you came in, and thank you for mentioning the business. She said, I heard that list that they sent you. She said, was that a real letter? And I said, is this a real card that I'm showing you?
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm doing this to follow up on the radio. And she said, I can't see Ryan Seacrest coming into the haircut.
That was her credibility problem.
Yeah, right. I said, well, maybe they gave him to him, you know, when he was just a DJ in Los Angeles.
So Ryan Seacrest has, you know, been on the fast track. What was it, 5 years ago? He was not even a DJ,
nobody,
right?
Really.
So anyway, if you happen to be a
what happened to the other guy that used to host American Idol?
Brian Dunkelman?
Yeah, was it Brian Dunkelman? Was he a DJ?
He was a kid toucher, I think.
No, he was a comic.
Oh, okay.
And now you can
kid toucher.
He hosts a blog about American Idol.
Oh,
that's nice.
That's very sad.
Yeah, he's sort of the Pete Best of American Idol.
Gotcha.
So if you were at either of those haircutteries, I apologize. I just did it for the show.
That's right.
I just did it for the show.
So the next time you really need a haircut, will you go to haircuttery?
Yes, and now that I know that it really works, I promise you this, the next time, like in a month and a half, I'll bring somebody from the show with me.
Okay.
All right. Because I can do it at the haircuttery. Mike, there's a haircuttery right down the street. Right by the Borders Books, right behind the Borders Books over there off Route 50.
Oh, okay.
There's one right over there.
They're all over the place.
So one day, right by Fair Oaks, yeah. Mm-hmm. So one day what I can do is just say to you, for instance, hey, meet me at 115.
I will.
And watch me being a swinging dick with my gold card.
I want to go in and see it. I want to see the I want to see the magic happen.
Deal with it.
I truly, truly want
deal
to
with
see
it.
That.
What a dick I am. But what a great, you know, I'm
well,
sorry.
I mean, you know, so often I'm sure that these honorary titles are given out and celebrities don't take advantage.
I'm
no, you
actually.
Can be. Why don't you shoot for this? You're going to be the one person who's been honored like this that will use it like a toilet.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to run it into the ground.
You will have that. It will split. It yep, will be frayed. They'll have to send you replacement cards.
What damn straight.
What it's for?
Damn straight. So thank you again, Haircuttery. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Well, what a great
special,
fun that was. What?
Special haircut. I'm Ralph Rams. You want to know pretty boys?
Yes, I am, sir. Yes, I am. I'm pretty. I'm dainty, but I don't have a Vito Billy Idol vest on today.
I'm not wearing it anymore. I will wear it when I'm riding my motorcycle, though.
You ain't one of them fags, are you?
I'm half a fag. And what, you've never been in a place where a guy would say, or it's mainly a chick when she's cutting your hair, would say, like, you know, oh. And all she does is just put the comb by your eyebrows. Anybody else
right.
besides me ever had that?
Done? Always. I've had my eyebrows trimmed.
Every week.
Yeah, there you go.
You getting them feet taken care of, too?
Are you trying to talk like an inbred named Cletus, or is this really the way you talk, friend?
I just want to know if you're getting your feet done, too.
Answer the question.
I just want to know.
Shouldn't you go check the levees?
Is it a Sacramento caller?
Just I don't guessing. Think so. It's area code 319, I see now.
I bet he has levees.
Burlington, Iowa.
Burlington, Iowa.
Yep.
Yes, to answer your question, yes, I'm having my feet done, and here's what I'm doing. What I'm going to do is sit down and watch some porno. And as you know, I'm like a fountain. You know, I'm like a sprinkler that you shoot off in your front yard.
I heard you like to watch American.
Stop for a moment and let me tell you exactly what you asked about my feet. I'm going to tell you. Here's how I've decided to handle them. What I'm going to do is do my thing. I'm going to watch some porno, and then I'm going to be like one of those sprinklers. And as I've said before, we can't get very specific. I have incredible velocity. It's not a problem for me to hit my feet. And then at that point, your mom has agreed to come and lick, which is how my feet will be cleaned. I will be watching pornography. I will release, and then your mother will...
But sir, make sure you tell your mom to trim her beard.
So thank you for the
I
call.
Heard you like to watch American Idol and paint your toenails. That's all. But then go in these new places and get them all.
I'm sorry, that incredibly intellectual comeback that was just sculpted by us.
That's totally horrible.
Totally
bye!
Although it is true. Yeah. You want to see something gross?
Well,
do we?
Too easy.
I just took my Band-Aid off from where the tip of my finger was.
Oh, you cut your finger off?
Teeny little tiny. Yeah. I don't think it looks bad at all. I think it looks actually pretty interesting.
Let's see.
Remember I told you I got part of the nail chopped off, too? And there's the end of it right there.
Oh, it's healing nice.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah. It's like...
That's healing up pretty good.
It's like Charlie. It's like it's growing back.
But it is meat. That's the one thing it is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, you are looking at meat.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. But I'm very encouraged. This is the first time that from the ER that the bandage has sort of like disintegrated just like they said it would.
Won't be long until that finger is back in commission.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Doing
what it does best. Right nostril, here you come.
Well, I always think a little south.
What? My own finger?
You told us last week.
No,
in hers.
Oh, God. Oh, dear God, boy. Dear boy.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Oh. Hello there.
Hey, Don. I've been living in Great Falls, Virginia also, as you do. And
I tell you what, why don't you just give out my home address? That would be wonderful.
This is a bad start. Right.
I was calling in referral.
And you didn't even hear that, did you? That this is a bad start. Did you hear that?
Yeah, Mike said that. Yeah, I heard him.
Yeah, right. So I tell you what, what's your address? Being as you live in Great Falls like I do, where do you live in case I want to come by after the show to discuss things with you?
Well, I live on Georgetown Pike on Runaway Lane.
What do you do, sir? Are you a student?
What does your daddy do?
Because
you obviously could never afford to live in my neighborhood. What does your daddy do?
I do not live in your neighborhood, sir.
What does your father do? You live with your folks?
He owns a company.
And you live with your folks?
Yeah.
How old are you?
15.
15?
Now, you sound a little older than 15.
Older. Yeah.
Really? All right, well, I'm 15.
You're 15. Well, you shouldn't even be calling this. Your show really is just for 18 and older.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Really, you got to have pubic hair before you call. But I'm sure your rich daddy will buy you some if you don't get enough.
Buy him some. I got it, son. It's in a bag out in the car.
But Don.
Now, do you understand what you just said? You're too young to call the
dude,
show.
Really, unless we ask for a segment with teenage boys.
Yeah.
You know,
and we might. Yeah, now, if you continue to talk, we're going to have to hang up on you.
Well, Don.
He's continuing to talk. Bye-bye. See you later.
Fake IDs are out back.
See you later, son. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Yes, hi.
Hey, this is, I was just wondering, if I heard right, you spent $30 on free haircuts this weekend?
Right, correct, genius, right, because that's the type of, you know, gregarious, generous guy that I am.
He tips.
When I'm not going to go to the, what do you think I'm going to do? Go to the hair cuttery, get a free haircut, be a dick, cut in line, and then not give them any money?
It said free.
No, I'll tip generously.
And, you know, technically, if you paid for the haircut, you would be paying for, you know, even more than that. So you did get the haircut for free, and the tip was, you know, just out of normal etiquette.
Right.
Right. It is,
yeah, but isn't the haircut like $9.99?
No, $14.
Now, again, now we've got another guy whose mom, I think, might have some toe licking to do tonight.
We enjoyed that.
He liked that. Okay. Hope she does too. Because that toenail fungus is gone in all of them except just one.
Just one.
And that's the one I shoot for.
So, bye!
Say hi to your mom tonight, or as we like to call her, old itchy lips.
You know, sometimes it's almost perfect. A dollop, a perfect dollop that almost looks like a Hershey's Kiss, right on the tip of my toe.
Moms love it.
Choosy like moms.
Sounds like a peanut butter commercial.
Choosy moms.
Wow.
Chew a dollop on my toe.
All right. And then, of course,
Choosy moms choose Jif. That was Jif peanut
right.
butter, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
And your usual farewell after that is, all done? Okay. Out of here. That's it. That's how it's done every time.
And quite often, you know, foot right by head.
Kick hard.
If you have to.
Yeah.
Just to remind them that it's time to leave now.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And when your retarded son calls the show on Monday, tell him to keep it down. But thank you for cleaning my feet.
Choosy mom.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello, gentle person.
Hi, and you know what I mean, the perfect dollop. Like, when you see the McDonald's, when you see, like, inside a McDonald's when they show a training film, when you see the automation, and as the hamburgers go underneath, there's the thing that just makes the perfect dollop.
Right.
That's what I shoot for.
Usually you get the ketchup, mustard, you know, in the perfect dollop.
Right.
Right. I like to get, I don't want to brag, but I can actually even get, like, the little curly Q
on top, like Dairy Queen.
Like a little pig's tail.
That's why you are the Jackson Pollock of relish.
Hello, Don and Mike. Mike, you don't really know.
Did you guys get a chance to watch SportsCenter this morning?
I know what you're going to say. He's too random.
He's too abstract. Mm-hmm. No, his style, Mike. Hold on just a second, my friend. His style is too abstract. What he would do is just throw paint like a retard.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Come up with a... no, I won't say... Who's the guy that painted the Mona Lisa?
Da Vinci.
Leonardo da Vinci. Right.
Yeah, I love his code, and I think that he would be a good one.
You're the Michelangelo.
And sometimes when I do that, my hair gets all curly, like Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
in the Da Vinci Code.
Or like Mike's a Michelangelo because you've both done ceilings.
There you go.
Have you done ceilings?
No. I don't believe I've ever done a ceiling.
I did.
I put a couple of eyes out though. Real bad.
What about SportsCenter? Hello.
SportsCenter, this morning, Stuart Scott had another I Want to Be an Athlete moment.
Oh, what did he do?
He was describing a story about a female golfer and her mother that has breast cancer. While he's taking a practice swing, he actually takes the practice swing, looks at the fake drive that he just hit, spins the club, and puts it down, and then continues with the heartwarming story.
Does he have a club in his hand?
He had a club in his
hand. Oh, I hate him! God, I hate that
good
guy.
One. Great example, just like when I saw him last week introing an NFL package.
And did he come across once again as a total ass?
Yes, he did. Just like that's why I called about the NFL package you were talking about. I didn't even notice it, and then I was watching this morning, and I go, "Oh my God,
what is this deal? This must be a new phenomenon." So, give him a football, give him a golf club.
I don't know. Of all the guys on ESPN, he's the guy who most still wants it to be, I guess, the way that it used to be there, where they cut up absolutely freaking all the time.
Right.
You ever watch the very end? Sometimes I watch just like at 11:30 the end of it. You know, to see how they're going to wrap it up, because they just repeat the same thing over and
right,
over.
Right.
And occasionally you get where there's some interplay between the two guys, and it does not carry what they wanted.
Doesn't
it's
work.
Awkward and it's bad, and you know you're going to be able to see it replayed again for the next 6 hours.
Yeah, it's where they come up short, and they've got a pad, and they have some awkward chatter.
Today I think it was Steve Levy. Maybe that was the guy on the right, and it's Stuart Scott on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And they get down and they say, "Well, stay tuned. We'll be back to do it again in a moment." And then Stuart Scott says something like, "Man, you know, you always get the good highlights. Next time, I want the good highlights." And then the camera's still on him, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, da da da. And you see him, you know, he's really playing it out like he's really mad. He's like, he takes a pen and goes, man, what's a brother got to do to get a story? And it's like, in high definition, and it's douche chill television.
Wow, I guess he is so uncomfortable to watch
because they are padding, and he's pretending that he's upset that the other guy got the good highlights during
doing
the
his
previous
sketch,
hour.
His little skit.
Oh, it's great.
The bit.
It's great.
The funniest part about that whole story, though, is he was talking about a mother with breast cancer while he was. With the golf club.
He wasn't out there just like giving himself a self-exam.
You know, the thing is, no matter what, I think that proves that no matter what the story, how powerful it is, it's always about Stuart Scott. It's not about the story, it's about the anchor.
I just think it would have been funny instead of a golf club if he had like some dialysis machine he was pulling along.
Bye-bye. Soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye!
Maybe he was thinking too much there. A little bit, you know. Oh, that needle hurts. Booyah!
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello there.
Hey, Don. Just wanted to congratulate you on being gargarious and gregarious. And thank you for your service to our country.
Are we going to argue now about my butchering of the language?
No, he's gone. He'd have to stay on the line.
I was hit and run.
Yeah.
That's okay. Keep thinking you're smarter than me.
Not up to an argument.
Keep thinking you're smarter than me as you listen to what I'm saying coming out of your radio. Keep thinking that. Who's the dumb guy?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy driving around calling the guy who's talking, whose voice is coming out of the radio? And someday explain to me how that works.
He knows that you know that he knows that what you really want to do and what he really wants is for you to him.
Someday, you got to tell me how that works.
All right.
Really, I'm lost on that. It's like we come in and we talk into these microphones.
Right.
And it goes to California. Right.
I still don't believe it's true.
Right.
I think these are basically callers from just down the street saying they're Californians.
It comes out of the levees.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the problem is my brain don't have spell check. You can quote me on that.
Mm-hmm.
My brain don't have spell check.
But you might, and I might, and Buzz might butcher another word tomorrow. It could happen
today.
Tomorrow.
Sure.
It could happen tomorrow.
You're right. It could happen tomorrow.
Thank you. It could happen tomorrow.
Not today, but...
Rob just sent me a sign that said, don't pick. I'm picking at my scab.
Don't pick at it, Mike.
I'm sorry, I can't help.
Don't pick your scab, because your finger could fall. It's going to happen tomorrow.
How you doing, Chip?
But it could happen tomorrow.
Good.
Good.
Just got to get the rest of that bandage off.
Come on, Vito, stop.
Supposed to fall off naturally.
Vito!
You're going to make
Vito.
It bleed.
Vito, you know what? Stop.
There's going to be spurting.
Stop dicking with
you're
your fingers.
You're going to get a gusher.
Huh?
You're going to get a gusher.
Yeah. Just put a Band-Aid back on it.
Leave it alone.
I don't want to use the used Band-Aid.
Of course not.
I'm fine. I'm not bleeding.
You're not bleeding yet.
Rob just gave me like
Scotch tape and paper towels.
Dish towels and Scotch tape. Thank you. Thank you very much, George Clooney out of ER. Appreciate it.
He's the MacGyver of medicine.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
And this is the
Radio Gods.
You want to see sanitary?
Yeah. This is sanitary, isn't it? Run your finger along that and you won't get any. Like DJ skin, like Greg Edger's forehead all over that thing.
Yeah, there's human skin and God knows what else.
Layers.
Coating every layer of the studio.
This studio has never had a real once over. I really don't think so.
No.
It's never had a real stem to stern cleaning.
No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, guys. How you doing today?
Okay.
Great show again. Hey. Oh,
you're goddamn right.
Just a quick comment.
The audience meter right now is saying, wow.
100%. Oh, look at that. Look at the arrow just went into delighted.
Hold on. Mike, we are spiking now at wicked.
Oh, wicked good.
Wicked.
Wicked good is right after delighted.
Well, the audience says we're wicked.
And if we really get it worked up, like late in the show, the arrow will go into slaying. Slang is like the very top.
Very top notch.
Very exciting.
Used to be killing, but killing's a little, PC
Crude.
Now.
Exactly.
Slaying.
Slaying.
Used to be killing.
You guys are slaying me.
Killing. Mike, we're not killing yet. We're only wickeds.
Right after delighted.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, just last night about the Soprano show, little Carmine went out there with Christopher.
That's what it is. Little Carmine.
And, okay.
The gentleman that came out after that, they called him Murmur.
Murmur.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Murmur. So did Little Carmine go out? Did he come from New York, or did he meet Christopher in L.A.?
No, they both left and went out together.
Okay, and then Murmur comes out because Christopher needed drugs, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. They call him Murmur because he had a heart murmur.
I knew that. Yeah, we heard.
But he's kind of a cross between a retard and a Down syndrome guy, if you ask me.
Well, that's the same thing.
Well,
Mike, not really.
We were
very insensitive of you, Mike.
Bye!
Blurted it out.
Big difference between retarded people and Down syndrome people.
It's the exact same thing.
It's not, Mike.
That's right.
It is. Listen, I have a dog who's retarded.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a general manager who has Down syndrome.
Right.
I know the difference.
Okay.
I know the difference.
Big difference? Not a big difference.
Not really.
A shade of a difference.
Well, see, the problem is I'm using the wrong example, because what I'm doing is I'm comparing a dog to our general manager, and really, I could give them both an IQ test, and they would probably come up with this. So it's unfair of me.
You're not giving your dog any credit at all.
It's unfair of me to compare my dog to our general manager. Although I'll tell you this. I do know this. I took my dog to the vet today. This is not a lie. And he has some problem with a degenerative problem with his hip. He's arthritic, right, et cetera. The one difference I found
just
between
the big dog or the little
Clink,
dog?
Clink. Right. The thing I found, the difference between Colonel Clink and our general manager is Colonel Clink still has a spine.
Yeah.
He that still has a spine.
Big difference.
Yeah. Able to actually, get on all fours, maybe limp a bit occasionally, but make it around okay instead of slithering.
And the dog has a very small forehead.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Hughes has a gigantic forehead.
They're very difficult. Also, your dog can still go to the beach, and you can throw a stick in the water. The dog can retrieve it. Unfortunately, with our general manager, you put him in the water, and he will float in whatever direction the current goes.
Well, here's the main difference. Also, let's say that Michael Hughes was my dog, and in many ways he is.
Let's say that.
With Colonel Clink, here's the deal. My German Shepherd, who was not feeling well, so we took him to the vet.
I could
throw a ball. And he will run and get it and bring it back and be happy and panting and smiling. You throw a ball to Michael Hughes and it hits him like he doesn't have any arms or legs. And then you say, pick it up. And he says, call New York. And then you say, well, just pick up the ball. And he said, in essence, what he says is, what? No, because I have no spine, I can't bend over to pick up the ball.
Good
so
point.
So you call New York. And he said, why should we call New York? Call my boss in New York and ask him if I can pick up the ball. Well, why don't you call him yourself, Michael? Oh, I have no spine. See, that's the difference between my dog and my German.
I think you've explained that well.
My German Shepherd and my German manager.
Not German.
German manager.
You got to admit it, Rob. He's got some of that blood in him.
Well, you know what? You know where the similarity would be? Just following orders.
Let me just say this. I'll end this right now. Michael Hughes would have made a damn good Nazi. I don't know if a higher compliment I can give him.
Yeah, what? That's quite a compliment. Quite a compliment.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, Don?
Hey.
But it could happen tomorrow.
You're from Sacramento, right?
Yeah, I had to check my area code.
That's why you got that. Hi there, what's happening?
I was going to ask you if you were going to use Artie Bucco's line of the episode last night on your hot button.
I can't understand a word.
You got to call with a better phone.
Bye!
There's something about Artie Bucco in the hot stack. We have a lot of Artie
Bucco. It's Arthur Bucco.
And I mean, we should have a whole discussion about The Sopranos, because not only was it great last night because of Lauren Bacall, but the fact that Artie Bucco,
who is so dangerous,
went out of his freaking mind for the whole episode.
Yes.
Great.
Yeah. Really terrific. And you know, what I said to somebody is that Artie Bucco is great because he's not a gangster, but he's just as dangerous. In fact, more so.
Yeah.
He's more out of control than a gangster.
He ain't right.
Don't you think a lot of those times when he'd walk up to the hostess stand, he's going to hit her?
I'm surprised Tony takes his you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Tony stands back there and...
That's the lifelong friend thing.
Yeah, that's loyalty.
That's the lifelong friend.
But remember, Tony burned down his place in the first year. Remember?
Yep.
Remember the very first year Artie Bucco pulls the shotgun out of the back of his car?
That's why Tony takes his crap.
Yeah, forgive and forget.
That's why Tony takes his crap, because Tony feels like he owes him. He did burn down
the restaurant.
The old Don and Mike show. Hello. Yeah, great Sopranos.
Great show. When you think, you know, when you talk about TV shows, sometimes you realize just what we're watching, and it is kind of silly.
Yeah, great Artie Bucco. Yeah. Great Lauren Bacall.
Yeah.
And Sir Ben Kingsley. Pretty good last night, too.
Playing himself.
Take a punch.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Yeah, Lauren Bacall. And really, Lauren Bacall. I mean, get out your history books, kids.
Yeah.
Back in the day,
God,
she was Julia Roberts or anybody you want to name.
I love it. Yeah.
Times 100.
Yeah, one of my favorite old black and white movies is called To Have and Have Not, mm-hmm. or as it was called on the show last night, I Loved You in the Haves and Have Nots.
The Haves and Have Nots.
I mean, she is as close really as you can get to old-time Hollywood royalty.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And this salty old bitch... gets punched in the face by Christopher.
Uses the language and everything. It was great.
My effing arm.
She is the widow Bogart.
Yes, right.
She's married to Humphrey
Bogart's widow.
Right.
And a POA.
Better than Mike Tyson.
In her day,
yeah.
In that movie, those early black and white movies, you want to see somebody really who I think was sexier than the sexy women of the day.
I agree.
Yeah, I
absolutely agree.
Just thought it was great. Great. I mean, and how many people like me really laughed out loud and had to just pause it for a second, whether you have TiVo or DVR or whatever.
The screaming count?
You just pause it for a second, and then you go back and watch it again, like, hold on a second. They just punched Lauren Bacall in the face. Great.
Down goes Bacall.
Great. And then, you know.
She wouldn't give up her gift basket.
No. Nope.
You follow that up with a guy from Doogie Howser taking Artie Bucco's hand and putting
in the marinara sauce.
Boiling funk.
Great.
And they had a great fight on his porch.
Yeah.
They shot Frankie Valli. It was an action-packed
Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, your dog likes his wine cold.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
yeah,
not
right.
Warm wine.
Like warm wine.
Another animal. Difference.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi, can I have Mike's Band-Aid?
Do you really want it?
That's a valid question, Mike.
You know, normally you give things like this to the fans.
Would you like to send out your Band-Aid to the fans?
I think we should.
It's got some blood.
Perfect.
Okay, would you like it, sir?
Ziploc baggy that thing and mail it out. And if you can't, can Buzz smell it and just describe it to me?
I don't think Buzz wants
to
smell.
It's in the mail, sir.
It'll be coming your way. It'll get right out to you. Seriously, put him on hold. We'll get it right out to the guy.
Okay, and
appreciate it.
It's a waterproof bandage, too.
Good luck with whatever crime it is you're planning on committing.
The cloning.
Don't forget that.
Oh, is this the thing where they get my DNA? And
that
then,
is the magic. Right. That you go and then you do the on somebody and you just rub that Band-Aid all over the place. And
yeah.
It comes back. And, oh, Mike, you said you were doing the radio show. This is Gil Grissom on the phone from Las Vegas. But
Chris.
How could I have committed that crime in Sacramento? I was here in Washington, D.C.
Mike, this is George Eads. I've got another new hairdo and I've got your DNA all over this woman's...
David Caruso's.
Daisy.
I was not in Miami. I had nothing to do with that. With that hand coming out of the sand.
And then you really know it'd be low rent. It was like, hi, Mike. It's Gary Sinise.
No, I hate that
from the least
one.
Popular CSI show.
I hate that one.
We've got some blood up here that looks like it might be yours. Gosh, I wish that this could be Caruso or William Peterson calling you, but it's just me.
Gary, why is everybody on your show blue? Please tell me why everybody is the color blue on that particular show.
It's because it's New York, Mike.
Is that why it's blue?
It's not colorful here, Mike.
Everybody's blue, And everybody in Miami's orange, and only in Las Vegas do they have normal coloration.
But Las Vegas, they're green a lot.
They're green a lot.
It's like it's a shamrock green almost in Las Vegas. On the CSI.
I feel like if you really went through and you put them on, you know, all on the same receiver and you got to do it side by side, you would see those shades of color that they have on each CSI has a different color.
And didn't Tony Soprano say something about CSI last
night?
He
did.
Yep.
Another show tribute.
Yeah, the CSI.
Last week it was the L word. He saluted.
Mm-hmm.
Remember?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yep. Okay. Anyway, that's the. Oh, you know what? I got to tell you when we come back. I didn't have man sex with a guy, but I had pretty. Well, I'll tell you about it when we come back. I got to meet someone who was who's important to nobody but me, and I really just went over the freaking top and like dry humped him.
Wow.
And then there's the mulching, and then there's the movies, and the problem with the people at the movies. Because, you know, that's the way that I am. I'm like the no pester.
You were trying,
you know. Although I think it was the audience as well, just the general audience of the movie. We went to see The Sentinel with Michael Douglas's incredible facelifts and Kiefer Sutherland, who, I'm sorry, dude, I love you, but you are just Jack Bauer always now.
Is seeing The Sentinel going to affect your viewing of 24 this evening?
Oh, no. As a matter of fact, when I was watching The Sentinel, I turned to my chick and I said, you know what's making this movie almost passable? It's the fact that you can almost pretend you're watching an episode of 24.
Right, and that's the only thing that you liked about it.
Because, well, he's got, you know him, he's got one speed.
That's right.
You slept with my wife. I'm just following all of the leads. I'm just following the evidence. Give me a reason to believe you. And when you pull your weapon, you shoot to kill.
We're Secretary Heller in it, Jack. Nowhere to be found.
Are you insane?
Are you insane?
We'll be right back to me.
Jesus, Jack.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike on Free...
Betty.
Okay.
It's Ben.
Hi.
How are you?
What on earth are you doing out here?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh.
Gentlemen, allow me to introduce Miss Lauren McCall. Lauren, this is Carmine Tazzi and Christopher...
Moltisanti. Huge fan.
Thank you.
Luper Tazzi. You were great in the haves and have-nots.
Oh, yes, dear Howard Hawks. Thank you. I'm a presenter at one of these award shows. So West, some bull...
Well, I did one of those years ago after Death and the Maiden, I think.
They do take good care of you, though. I have a shatsu in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
But that's catch-up.
Absolutely.
Great to see you. Thank you.
As always.
So nice meeting both of you.
Enjoy your success.
Now let's go to her getting hit by Christopher. Just moments later.
Well, Miss McCall, your limo is second in line there.
Well, I can take it from here.
You sure?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay. You're welcome. Good night.
Night. Get the f*** away from me!
What are you doing? Somebody help us! Don't stop! Miss McCall, don't move. Yes, an ambulance by Robinson's May.
Jesus.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the munchies.
Listen today, perform tonight. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, thank you, Lauren McCall.
Betty.
Thank you, Sopranos. Great one last night.
So the weekend.
Yes.
Just a couple of things that I did over the weekend.
The mulching. You know, someday I'll tell you about that, why I made a huge mistake, and why I will, in the future, pay the guy with Joe's song to do it.
Yeah.
Because right now, my backyard... I mean, Mike, you talked about the difference between retarded and Down syndrome.
Yes.
Right now, my front yard looks like it was done by professionals.
Uh-huh.
The backyard looks like you just got a school bus full of both.
Right.
And you just put them in the backyard and you said...
pandemonium, huh?
You said, guys, you know, pretend it's a birthday party.
Uh-huh. So did you get the bags? Is that how you did it? Or did you get one big dump truck load?
A big truck load. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, a wheelbarrow. Yeah. I've got a wheelbarrow.
Perfect.
this will be easy.
Sure.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Right.
I'm an idiot. You know how many freaking trips you got to make from the front to the back
with
the wheelbarrow?
Yes, it's amazing. The funny thing about mulch is that you'll have a wheelbarrow full, and then you'll dump it into your little beds that you want to put it in, and it doesn't go very far
much. Yeah.
No, and also I found, at the very beginning when I started doing it, it looks great.
Yeah.
Just like the guys did out front.
Well, good.
What did you do to screw it up?
Basically, what I did was made it so absolutely messy that all I ended up doing was just covering up the old stuff. You know, like, they patted it down, cleaned the weeds.
Well, you clean, like, the stuff underneath. You get the old mulch out,
and
take the weeds up, and then you put the new mulch down.
I can't say that all the weeds are gone.
So you got weeds sticking through the new mulch?
From at least, I'd say, a half of it. But again, it's in the backyard where nobody's really going to see.
Yeah, and you did it. I mean, you did it, so that's a nice thing.
There's no doubt.
Right.
I mean, as I stand on my back porch, and I look at the treehouse that I built for Bart, back when he was a little boy, which just, again, looks like, you know.
He's mentally retarded.
Looks like the Special Olympics had a project to build a treehouse in my backyard.
Uh-huh.
And then you look at the job that I did mulching back there, and I'm positive that I'm going to have to end up telling Hector, listen, look what I did.
Please fix this.
please. Fix it immediately. How stupid of me. And also, you know.
Well, you gave it a shot. That's
important. How tough can it be, right? You get the stuff, you spread it out.
Just people do it all the time. I mean, there are people that you know, I got neighbors of mine that do a great job with their own
stuff. I've done it.
But my father traumatized me to yard work because I had to do it every single weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's hobby, he didn't go golfing and he didn't go out and play poker with the guys. He did yard work.
Right.
That was what he did to relax, and he did it. I remember I had to do it my first wedding the day before. I had to do yard work.
Mm-hmm.
I was and I vowed that when I had my own house.
You vowed?
That I said I would not do yard work, and I don't do yard work anymore. I hate yard work.
Mm-hmm. Buzz is also a grass enthusiast.
Okay, thank you.
As an allergy sufferer, when you were done with the mulch, how did you feel? Because it's been really bad.
I felt great because it had rained so much on Saturday that it was beautiful on Sunday.
Right.
So no problem with it. Anyway, they're going to have to fix that. Now, on Saturday, when we had the torrential rain here in D.C., there was an event. A friend of mine, Gary Pesch, who owns the Old Virginia Tobacco Company.
Gary.
I give him a plug there because he's got his 35th anniversary party.
Ah, we must talk.
And, I love cigars.
Yes.
And specifically, I'll ask Mike, what is my favorite type of cigar?
I know your favorite maker. It's a Fuente Opus X.
That's right.
And has been for many, many moons.
Long time.
So, you know, pretty much I'm loyal to this one brand of cigars, Fuente. I like the Opus X best, but I like just betting from Fuente. Well, the guy, Carlos Fuente, the guy who's in all of the ads, the guy that invented the Opus X.
Right. He's in that movie Clear and Present Danger, too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He's the guy that's running around the fields going, "Do you hear me? I will come after you."
They didn't get him. They got his house, but they didn't get him.
Can you hear me? He's a little slimmer than that guy, but other than that,
That's a big, big dude. That's a major player in cigars. I mean, Fuente, correct me if I'm wrong, they don't just make the Opus X's or Arturo Fuente. They make a million other
they
cigars.
They make Ashton, Custeray. They make a lot of stuff.
Right.
So anyway, he's in the cigar world. I mean, I don't know. I'm such a queer about stuff like this. We get to this thing. Now I've got the chick with me, and this is the first time that she's going to see this side of me.
Uh-oh.
We arrive at this thing. It's at a fancy
hotel.
What
would you call this side of you? How would you name it?
Just the schizophrenic side of me.
Uh-huh.
We arrive at this thing, and I say to her, here's all I really want to do. I just want to meet this one guy that makes the cigars that I love. And I know I'm being queer, like, you know, like I'm meeting a rock star or something. But I just want to do that. I want to get the frig out.
Right.
She said, fine, whatever you want. She said, but, you know, you probably still end up having a good time. You know, it's probably why I like those chicks so much, because she says a lot of the stuff like that Frida would have said. Like, come on, you know, just, let's get in there. We're here. Let's go.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we walk through the doors, and I see the area, the ballrooms where this party's going on. And I see the registration table, and I see what appears to be like five fat losers that are sitting in this area by the table, and they're just smoking cigars. But it really is like a loser. Like it's a loser convention. It's like, if you've not been laid in the last 25 years, please have a free cigar. So we turn the corner, and I said to her,
come here. Come here. Don't go in there. She's like, why? I said, there's nobody in there. I said, like, they left free tickets for me. I'm not going to walk up there and, like, say who I am and have them give me the tickets. And, like, there's losers in there. And she said,
all guys?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a cigar thing.
Yeah.
She said, well, don't you want to meet that guy? And I said, oh, I want to meet him. But I said, this is the worst part of being me. I said, it's like, I get here and then I chicken out. I'm in real life, I'm too shy to meet strange people. I don't like being around other people.
Mm-hmm. Especially strangers.
Right. It's just the way that I am. I'm going to this thing. The guy's nice enough to give me tickets. A lot of people pay money to get into this thing. And so, like, we spent a good 10 minutes.
Were you early?
No, we were late. The thing was, like, noon till 5. We got there 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
You know, but still, it's like, really, I would walk in the door, and then I would say, oh, you know what? Screw it. I said, Frida went through this exercise with me constantly. Screw it. I don't want to go in, and I don't want a glad hand, and I don't want to pretend like I'm, you know. Here's what I really wanted. I just wanted to meet this one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, besides, nobody's in there. And finally she said, well, just go in and look. We're all the way here. Go in and look.
What could it hurt?
So we go in and look and past.
For the white suit.
Past, yeah, because that's what this guy wears. When you get past the table with the registration.
Yes.
And he does wear a white suit.
And a Panama hat.
He does.
He's a good guy. Does he wear that uniform?
I am not
exactly.
That's
the uniform that's like in the ads.
And he's got it on.
And like one of those weird ties?
No, he doesn't have the tie on. He just got the white, like, barber's smock on.
Okay, all right. This is fascinating.
And a Panama hat.
Anybody that smokes cigars knows who you're talking about.
But anyway, this is more about me and just my schizophrenic personality. Like I'm saying to her, oh, God, what if somebody recognizes me in here? I mean, not that I am Tom Hanks, but I said, you know, anybody recognizes me in here, and I said this right to her face, they're going to see me with you. And she says, well, you asked me to come.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, but now, you know, I don't know how people are going to react to that. If it's like, you know, I said, here's the thing. Okay, we'll go in. If it sucks, we're going to leave right away.
Mm-hmm.
And no hand-holding or anything. Like, don't even touch my, you know, no PDA. I said, and worst-case scenario, I'm going to give you a signal. Like, I'll just give you, like, a tip of the hat. And you go out of the room and you call me. And I'm going to say that I have to leave right away because there's an emergency.
Right.
She said, I can't believe how paranoid you are about just. She said, this guy invited you to this party meet this guy that you like. Just go in. So I get past all, and I don't know what it is with me. I really don't know what it is because frankly, when I meet people, I don't know what it is they're going to expect of me.
Right.
I think most times they'll be disappointed because I'm not like I am on the radio, and I'm going to come off as a dick because they're going to expect me to stand there and talk to them like I'm talking now on the radio,
mm-hmm.
when in real life I'd rather just be quiet and just kind of mix in and really as little contact with people as possible. And it's not you people. I mean, you people in general. It's me. It's me. It's the Howard Hughes in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I love being on the radio. I love being here with Mike. I love doing the show. But I hate, and it's not because I have the job on the radio. I just hate interacting with people.
You always
this
have.
Is a big part of my personality. It's why I go to the grocery store at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. You know why?
No people.
Because there's nobody there.
Because mm-hmm.
there's nobody there.
Right. You're not alone in that one. Because I go to
Best Buy. And off hours, uh-huh. I do everything I can to be in stores where I don't have to meet anybody.
Right.
What did I take my dog in today? It's like, even think about that. Ooh, how many people am I going to have to see at the vet clinic?
The only place you don't do that is haircutteries.
I did that for the show.
I know you did.
So she says to me, you know, I'm sorry to go on about this, but it's about how long it really took. She said, just go in there. And I said, I'm not getting the stupid name tag because everybody's got like the name tag. Like, hello, my name.
Did you think there was a chance you might have missed the guy?
I didn't know, and that was part of it as well.
Carlos.
Yeah. So I just said, let's just walk in. I'm not going to stop at the table. Let's just walk in. So we walk in, and right away, as soon as we walk in, it's like, oh, you know that thing with the angels because
he was there.
I see him. I said to her, I said, oh, there he is. She said, which one? I said, which one? Look at him, the guy in the white shirt, the white hat. That's the guy. That's the man.
He had a hat on?
Yeah, he had a Panama hat on. It's
cool.
Just like in the commercial. Like
right. So he dresses the part.
Right. He's like got his costume on. You know, with all the schmucks like me expect to see.
Right.
And I said, oh, I just got to go see him. I got to get over there.
Do you think it's the real guy? No, I'm starting to get suspicious.
No, it is.
He's wearing the Panama hat.
No, there was a lot.
It's like some guy they got from Queens.
No, there's a lot of the real guys. There was like the people from Padron were there. Okay. The people from CAO were there.
It's not like Bozo.
No, it's not. There's only one of this guy.
Not a franchise.
So she says to me, and this is why she's pretty cool, and I like her because she will give me crap like Frida, but you know in a loving way. Here's what happens. I finally get enough courage to go in this room and start mingling with people. Mm. And I see Gary, and he says, hey, anything anybody you want to see? I say, I'm here to see one guy. Only one guy. So now they bring him over. I'm standing at the table. They bring him over. And I totally talk about overreacting. It's like, the first thing he does is he comes to me with his arms out, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously they've told him that I've had a loss in my life in the last year, right?
And you've met him before, right?
Yeah, I met him before.
Right.
So he's like, oh, so good to see you again. I'm so sorry for your loss. Hey, come here. And it's like, oh, and I'm getting the hugs. Yeah. And it's like, he's giving me the man kisses on, you know, like the European thing on both sides. So what do I do? I kiss him back on both cheeks. I go,
sure.
I go, oh, Carlos. Mwah, mwah. And then for the next 10 minutes, I'm serious. Because he's got his arm around me,
uh-huh.
I've got my arm around him, and I'm climbing in his prostate, and I'm saying, I am not kidding. They could give me any piece of crap cigar in here. And your product, you ask anybody. Day one, before it was popular, I'm there on the man. God, your cigars. And they start saying to me, I've got some special ones, some unreleased ones. They're up in my room. I'll have Gary give them to you. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Somebody comes by. I normally don't do this. Somebody says, do you want a picture? I said, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the guy goes, I said, not digital. I want like the big old time of the
Did you ever go down there to where, did you go down to the Dominican?
I did, but I didn't get in to see him.
You didn't get to see him?
Although here's the thing he says to me. So I'm, because where they make the cigars is in the Dominican Republic.
Right.
And one boy says to me, so when are you going to come down? And I said, hey, listen, don't BS a BSer. I said, because, you know, if you don't mean it, he said, no, come down. Watch how we make the cigars. It tells me in one of these barns where they age the cigars,
right.
The kind that I like that are so hard to find,
mm-hmm.
like a half a million of them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, yeah. Where they're aging. So I said, to me, that's like going to Candyland. I mean,
so when you went down there, you never got a chance to see him the first time.
No.
You owe it to yourself to do that.
Yeah,
That'd be a lot of fun. He needed an invitation from the guy. So
right.
Anyway, I climbed in his prostate. And I had a picture taken with him, and I know I just made an ass out of myself, like I was, you know, some teenage girl in love with Nick Lachey.
I'm sure if anybody that takes pride in what they do digs that, they like the fact that you were a fan.
So then I saw our friend Doc Walker. You know, he's with the Redskins and
Red guy.
And I had man sex with him, too.
He's one of the best. I mean, he is always such a class act.
Doc has been a friend for over 20 years.
Good guy.
You know, and he was very fond of Frida and she of him.
Right.
So anyway, I said to my chick, Adrian, I said, I think I'm fine. I said, thank you for making me come in. You know, I'm really glad I got to meet that guy and get the picture. Let's get out of here.
Right.
So we're leaving. And in the meantime, while we were in there, there are quite a few people that listen to our show,
mm-hmm.
who, especially when I was standing in the middle of the room, like virtually crawling up this guy, of people around, because I was really going, more pictures! Take another one! It's me with Carlos Fuentes! And I'm like, he's the man!
I don't see you get like that with the celebs.
Oh, no. And he says to me, no. Very low-key, he says, no. No, you, my friend, you are the man. But I, because I'm loud, I go, Soto, you're the man! And I'm meeting people, and it's nice.
So you were gushing.
Yeah, and really just making an ass out of myself.
Oh, good.
So we left, and we got in the car, and she said, now, see, that wasn't so bad, was it? You had a good time. You got to meet the guy that you wanted to meet.
Right.
And then she said the one thing that just, like a knife, is why I'm very fond of this woman. She said, you realize the way that you really acted today with him is the way that in your paranoid mind you perceive people to act towards you.
Right.
She said, like, for instance, she said, remember that guy with the white shirt, the guy that just came up to you and said, hey, I'm a really big fan. It was a really funny show you guys had on Friday. I said, yeah. She said, in your mind, I bet you think that he came up to you and he, like, yelled and screamed and made a big deal. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah. She said, he didn't.
He's just coming up to be nice.
He was very low-key. She said, really? She said, it was cute. She said, but you know who's the one who really acted like a schoolgirl in love?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was you.
Yeah.
And I said, 1 to 10.
And what did that teach you, Grasshopper?
Not a thing. No. Not a thing. I mean, what am I supposed to learn from this? Nothing.
Right.
And she, I said to her, 1 to 10, seriously, I said, pretend you don't know me. She said, oh, everybody there knows you. Mm-hmm. And she said, not because of your stupid radio show. Everybody knows you there because you're the guy that was, like, virtually humping this guy's leg for 10 minutes nonstop.
Right.
I said, okay, embarrassment scale, 1 to 10. Be honest with me. And she looked me right in the eye. She said, oh, you're a 10.
Wow. You made a scene?
Yes.
You were that gushing over him that you made like you were acting silly?
This is a ballroom that had...
I guess I've seen you... The only time I see you, like, you know, do the kissing thing is, you know, if we're at a party and it's late. You know what I mean?
But he started it. He kissed me first.
His custom.
Tongue?
He's a fag.
Not at first.
Total tongue. And then fingering and you name
it.
Wow. And we... So, hey, what a...
Yeah, but you're so into that. That's very cool.
What a jerk off I am. You know,
you're God. A big
you think
fan.
You'd get the invite to go down to see him down
there? Better now. Now I've talked about it. Certainly better. It'd be nice. It'd be not. Although I can't imagine that he really would want me around because I'd be like that all the time. Mm. I'd be walking around with a boner all the time, going, "Oh my God, there's 500,000 cigars in this room." And meanwhile, I would be feeling.
You know, if you went down there with Rob, you'd be walking with this guy on like his patio, and then you'd say, "Where's Rob?" And then you'd look up in the sky, and it would be Rob in a helicopter, and they'd push him out, and he'd be hanging. That is somehow the image that I get of that. Say,
there's
Tony,
your friend.
Tony, there's your friend, Tony.
Your friend is
anyway, there. I thought it was a thrill to meet this guy.
Well, and, obviously.
You know, yeah. And anyway, I was just a jerk.
It sounds like to me you were complimentary of the guy.
Yeah, right. But I was just embarrassing. I was embarrassing to myself. So then we left, and I said, oh.
What if Brett Favre had been at the party, too?
Jesus.
Oh. You would have made.
Too much for one party.
Now, much. Mike, you know. And then if you added into that Kevin James. Who, incidentally, I only mentioned his name because they finally replaced Charlie Sheen in the theaters with the don't talk or don't do anything.
Yeah, right.
With Kevin James.
On a Segway scooter.
Walking or riding the thing around the set of King of Queens. And, of course, just because. It's just like, I don't know why I do this. We're sitting in the movies, and I say to her, the good thing about this chick that I'm somewhat involved with is that she doesn't know much about the show, which is fine with me.
Right.
You know,
so it's fun, like, to point out that we were on that set.
Yeah. And, of course, I got to lean over and whisper and go, he's going through the kitchen now. Next would be the family room, which is the back lot, right? Which would be followed by the bedroom. I said, when Mike and I were on the show, our dressing room was right behind where Jerry Stiller is. And she really...
Isn't it kind of cool it is to see that, because that really is the back lot of
She really looks at me, and I hate to keep saying this, it's so eerie that it's like, Friedel, just look at it. Didn't say anything. Just look at me like, yeah. It's nice ass. That's pretty much...
You're showing off a little bit. That's okay.
The look that I get. So the movie...
Okay, normal.
The movie we went to see was The Sentinel.
Right.
Like, it's not bad, except you really see Michael Douglas's facelift. Kiefer Sutherland is just like Jack Bauer, and Eva Longoria doesn't show her boobs long enough for you to really want to get into the movie. The problem with the movie was not talkers. They were directly behind us. They were loud whisperers.
Oh.
And they were older people. I put them in their late 50s. He was, I guess you not, 325.
Wow.
And one of those guys that's got his dress slacks all the way up to his breast line.
Mm-hmm. And were they in back of you?
Yes, right behind us.
How do you do these analyses on people in theaters? You know,
because
you're shy to go into the party, but what are you doing? Turning around, putting your knees on the seat, looking at this guy's pants?
No, the thing is, I check him out after the movie.
Okay, all right.
I want to see the guy.
Hold on to your
I want to see the guy that's pissed me off so bad.
That's right.
It's like, for instance, in this movie, I won't give away any of the secrets in this movie. It's like, secret.
That is a secret, Don.
The most obvious stuff, and I'm not even talking about plot stuff. These people drove me crazy because Michael Douglas would say, I'm innocent. I didn't sleep with her. I swear I didn't. And then you would hear him say, he's innocent. He didn't sleep with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd go,
the repeaters.
What? He's innocent. And this went on the whole movie.
And meanwhile, you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what kind of pants he's wearing.
I am, I'm turning around looking at the guy. Celebrity he most resembled, Tom Gavin at 60, if Tom Gavin was not afflicted.
Very good. All right.
Okay. So the movie's over, and for the entire 90 minutes during the movie, at first they talked during, I don't care about this, during every ad and everything.
Right.
And they said to Adrienne, she said, don't get so mad. I said, listen, they're allowed to talk up until it says directed by.
Right.
So now the movie's on, and everything they're whispering, everything. But I'm thinking, I'm not gonna make this. This chick already thinks I'm nuts. I'm not gonna flip out about this.
Good for you.
It's like the movie's over, and she said, "What did you think?" I said, "That was pretty good." Except those asses behind us, Jesus, would they shut up? Would they ever shut up? She said, "Of course, you know, I didn't hear anything."
Yeah.
I said, "Did you hear that?" She said, "Oh, they were whispering. They were older." I said, "And really?" I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm getting the trash." I said, "Come on, they have people to get the trash. Let's go find those people." She said, "What is your problem?"
Track them down.
I said, "I've got to see." Because, you know, she...
Hey, Fatso!
So we're standing outside. I said, "Oh, okay. There he is. Take a good look at him." And we're just standing there. Now, he can't see us. We're like 50 yards away from him. I said, "Look at him. Just look at that guy. Got his sensible slacks all the way up to his teats. Look at it. He's got his pager to his belt. That's nice. You can turn on your pager with your nipple.
Maybe it's a pacemaker.
And you got your cell phone there. Take you a whisper on the cell phone much?" And she's just standing there. She said, "I don't know what it's like with you. How long do you do this?"
Huh?
And I said, "Just a few more seconds." And really, I just said, "God, ruined it for me."
Did she have that kind of I'm driving home with an axe murderer look on her face? Or?
She just said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Yes."
I've gotten it out of my
work. I said, "Yes, let's go." And then what was just Gray said, "Well, where do you want to go for dinner?" She said, "Well, obviously nowhere where there's people."
She's getting it.
Okay, good.
Go to Alone's. Go to Vesuvio. No one there.
That's right. Go to Artie Bucco's. Because everybody else
it's Arthur Bucco.
Everybody else is going to Don Giovanni's.
Don Giovanni's.
And how about when Don Giovanni comes out and everybody goes like, "Bravo!
Bravo!"
Again,
something I don't experience every night, Don.
We're going between.
Thanks. Look around cafes.
It's the best part, too. People have had a good meal and I get applauded.
Going between the weekend and The Sopranos. And one other thing happened over the weekend that I have to bring up. I'm positive this is not true. This is not a brush with greatness. However, I was playing Xbox Live.
Yes.
I was playing my Madden game. And that's shocking to many of you. I was playing Madden online, and I was playing against a guy whose name is, his on-screen name is Quarterback QB Killa. K-I-L-L-A.
Mm-hmm. QB Killa.
The guy's team that he picked sucks.
Hmm.
It's the Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
And as the game is progressing, now I don't have the headset on, but the guy I'm playing against has the headset on. He's a brother. And I hear there's all kinds of talk. They're like, "Well, I got to pay attention. Oh, you think you're going to do that to me? I'm going to do that to you." I mean, it wasn't mean-spirited. It wasn't
competitive.
It was just a guy. And then I got done playing, and I went, "Oh, okay." So I beat the guy, and I wrote something like, you know, "Nice, nice game." And it said nothing. It just said, "Beep, QB Killa has signed off." So later that night, I'm on NFL.com, because, again, that's the type of swinging guy I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up on the Raiders site. Ended up looking. And you know what? Warren Sapp has a website called Quarterback Killa, K-I-L-L-A. I know I'm retarded.
You weren't playing Warren Sapp.
I think I was.
You, when are you going to stop engaging in these fantasies that you're playing every member of the NFL team?
No, it's only been two, Mike.
It's two times now.
Willis McGahee.
You're playing a guy that wants to be Warren Sapp.
Well, then he said, "Listen, here's my only the only reason I even bring this up. It sounded like Warren Sapp, and the guy was the Raiders. Now, yes, the Raiders have Randy Moss, but in the game of Madden, you can beat the Raiders with the Arizona Cardinals if you double Randy Moss."
I will give you the fact that these guys in the NFL and in the NBA play a lot of video games. Mm-hmm. Professional athletes play a lot of video games when they're on the road. That's
and I know it's probably a fan of Warren Sapp's who has Quarterback Killa.
Right.
But I enjoyed, at least for a brief couple of moments, sitting there and afterwards thinking, hey, hey.
So did you go to the NFL.com just to find out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think?
seriously would it?
So here's
you think, are you just telling me there's a chance, or do you think really you were playing against Warren Sapp?
I am a fan of Warren Sapp's.
It was his sister, Lauren Sapp.
You know, I've always said that Robert Mailman looks and sounds like Robert Mailman. And I know that
right.
I said they could be brothers and they sound alike. And I used to say they all look the same and sound the same, Rob.
Rob.
No need to step up right now. Mm-hmm. However.
I never said that.
Right.
Right. The guy sounded like Warren Sapp. Mm-hmm. And then I thought afterwards, why else did you pick a suck team like the Raiders?
For the challenge.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, the only player the guy controlled on defense the whole time was Sapp. And even in passing downs, the guy never went to a 3-4 defense that would take Sapp out. He had Sapp in on every play. Even I'd be throwing the ball left and right. He never opted to change to be the coverage guy. It was always Warren Sapp.
Because he's probably a big fan of Warren Sapp. And the Raiders. And he's probably been a fan of the Raiders
probably
prior to Warren Sapp coming. And when Warren Sapp came to the Raiders, okay. It was probably the biggest day of his life.
I think it's Carlos Fuentes.
Okay, everybody have fun. Everybody have fun. You know what? I give him a pass. I give Mike a pass because he's wearing his fag vest.
Right?
How was your weekend, bud?
Oh, man, it was great.
How was your weekend?
I should have been there.
How are things going for you at home?
Oh, man, never better. It's sweet, I'm telling you.
I'm kidding you, of course.
Of course.
I am kidding you, of course.
Wow.
It'll be on the news. Sooner or later.
Yeah, it'll be that night that all those people in Buzz's neighborhood are saying.
He
seemed like a very nice man.
He said it was a starter pistol.
He was a bit of a loner.
You keep throwing out.
I know.
Okay, do you want to talk about it or don't you?
Not the starter pistol part yet, because that's a secret strategy.
What about the other part?
You know, as married people have, sometimes not the best weekends.
You got to love Buzz's strategy, though.
Mm-hmm.
You got to.
I think it's a strategy that should be employed by more people.
You know, we should break. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, we'll let Buzz figure out exactly how it is he wants to present to us his strategy.
Well, just the truth, you know.
Just the facts.
You know what? Is she not listening now, or do you just you just have huge balls?
Yeah, you know what? She'll be listening by the time we get back.
Okay, well then.
But I think we're okay.
And get your story together.
All right.
And find it. And I promise, no matter what you said in the office,
mm-hmm.
all of that is just between us.
He can do it the way he wants to do it.
Any way you like to. Just, you know, in many ways, for a lot of us, Buzz is a life coach when it comes to relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very tough. It's very disheartening to come in and hear that over the weekend, the man who is your life coach on how to have a... You've been married how long?
30 years. A little over 30 years.
30 years. And yet, she still won't listen.
Well,
but Buzz has some strategy.
Do any of them.
Don't you think your strategies could maybe help other couples?
This is what I think. As I learn, I try to pass what I've learned along to my friends.
As a matter of fact, and this is not a final thing. I want to point out here, I'm not making a divorce joke here. But I'm talking about as far as arguments,
mm-hmm.
Buzz has what our military doesn't have currently, an exit strategy.
Yes.
Okay, that's outstanding. We will stop right here,
uh-huh.
and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. A deadly phalanx of powerful storms sends waves of floodwater across a fertile valley. 250 miles turned into an inland sea. Torrents of water pouring into crowded neighborhoods. Tens of thousands of people lose everything. It happened in New Orleans, and it could happen again in Sacramento if its levees are breached.
The Don and Mike Show.
It's funny. We broadcast there every day.
Where?
Sacramento.
But it could happen tomorrow.
Oh, Rich. That was a thing that was on the Weather Channel yesterday,
uh-huh.
about impending disasters.
Right.
Who knew that Sacramento was like right between two rivers?
Sacramento.
And I guess we should know that being as we've been on the air there for a very long time.
Yeah, I forget that much.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Broadcast.
acting Butterball Naked, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I want to tell you, we got some good stuff. We got jamming in the last 2 hours of this show. Buzz will talk about the marital advice. We'll listen to some cuts from Steven Seagal's new album.
Oh, good.
And this is a real treat. She's agreed to play Make Us Laugh. The beautiful Jessica Rabbit from our staff.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Time.
Jessica Rabbit. Be very interesting.
Who is the Kelly Pickler of the Don and Mike show.
Yes, she is.
She's fantastic. We've had Jessica on many times.
She's got great energy and great wit.
Very cute.
Today's the first time she'll be playing the game, so stand by for action. Let me see. Someone went on the intranet and found from MaddenNation.com quarterback killer. Yeah, let me see the registration for quarterback killer. The guy, it says he was born in 1981. The guy who has the name registered, Warren Sapp, was born in 1972. You know what that says to me?
What?
Nothing.
A smoke screen, it's a ruse?
Nothing.
I just don't understand why Warren Sapp lied.
Maybe he was playing anonymously.
Was he QB killer, though? Wasn't your guy QB killer?
Yeah, that's the name that they... No. Someone did a search on Madden Nation.
Oh, okay.
And found out... like, if you found out what my screen name was, you can't find out information on them, like the backwards phone number thing, but you can find out as much as they're willing to put out there.
Right.
Gotcha.
Like your favorite team and your date of birth, and, you know, I don't even fill that crap out. So I don't think it was Warren Sapp.
You don't have your interests and stuff listed?
Your birthday?
My publicity photo?
Yeah.
No, I do not.
And how is your MySpace location going?
It's going gangbusters. I tell you, the only thing that's slowing me down there,
what?
All these goddamn high schools that are banning MySpace.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're really cutting down on my traffic, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I saw just the other day you had half the friends' pictures up that were up there before.
Yeah, they're my friends.
Very difficult.
Oh, and hold on. Porno. My God, this is great stuff about Charlie Sheen. I know you probably read that Charles Sheen and Denise Richards, you know, they're divorced, and she's got, like, that 100-yard thing. They
yeah.
can't come within 100 yards.
Her, yeah.
Denise Richards is coming out with her side of the story. First off, she says Charlie went to Lauren Bacall on her, that she was Lauren Bacall and Charlie Sheen was Christopher.
You mean he got physical?
Yeah. Pushed her down and said, and now this is Denise Richards being quoted, "I hope you effing die, you bitch." He said that to her.
Huh.
Then he took the steps. He took the threats further. He was fighting about the custody. So she decided, screw it. She's going to let everything out. Charlie Sheen said to Denise Richards, "If you take me to court for the kids, you will be effing dead."
Wow.
He also said to her, now these are quotes from Denise Richards. This is not like that Inquirer thing where it says, you know, sources say. These are
this quotes. Is like a publicity release by her.
Yes.
Her publicist released this statement.
You are correct. And
wow.
Also, I guess she's doing a special with someone where this is going to come out on TV.
So hello, Alec Baldwin, Kim Basinger. Again.
Now, she also says that Charlie Sheen said to her, "Hey, you should enjoy your parents while they're still around."
So, like, wow. Threatening her family,
threatening
too?
Threatening her family. Now, how about his favorite pastimes, according to Denise Richards? Because now she's letting
boy.
It all go.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Sex and gambling. He likes cyber porn. Now, before you say, hold on, everybody likes porn on the internet, you should know Denise Richards says, her words, not mine, Charlie Sheen is really into the barely legal stuff.
Uh-oh.
And he belongs to several sites which promoted very young girls, and this is now Denise Richards speaking.
Wow.
Promoted young girls who looked underage to me with pigtails, braces, performing on each other. But that's not all. According to Denise Richards, Charlie Sheen also likes going to gay sites that featured, quote, and I'm going to read the quote now. Thank you for the story now. Now I can read you exactly what it is. Quote, "He goes to sites with very young men who do not look like adults."
Oh, my God.
She
That's
also
some serious
says,
allegations.
She also says Charlie Sheen belonged to several sex search sites.
Ah.
Not like the ones that we talked about last year, like
right.
Meet a Millionaire. It's just where you want to get laid.
A hookup.
Yeah. And one of his online profiles that she has a picture of is a picture of his D. Hey.
Wow.
Like where it said, what do you look like?
You know, the interesting thing that with that, if she is probably coming out and saying that if she's got any kind of representation at all, she's making these statements and has proof to back it up. Because if it's computer related, you can grab that stuff off the computer. You can grab a hard drive or whatever. Because he could sue her otherwise.
Just a couple more great ones. So here's another quote now. And she's got, I guess, recordings of the she got sneaky towards the end and got like a tape recorder. She said to Charlie Sheen, you go on porn sites, you go on gay porn sites, you gamble all the time, you cheat on me all the time. His quote to her, hey, bitch, go F yourself or I'm going to kill you. Let me see. Gambling. Now, you really can't fault the guy here. What she says is while she was having one of her kids with a C-section, that his pager kept going off with sports scores.
Mm-hmm. So that's not exactly criminal.
But then she comes back with just the best one. That she's, oh, yes, and also I forgot to mention this, that when I was pregnant with the first kid that we had, Charlie really, really wanted me to have an abortion.
Oh, wow. So she has completely taken the gloves off.
Pulled out all the stops.
This is gone now.
How about that?
Wasn't it 6 months ago? Weren't they at some vacation retreat trying to patch it all back
up
together?
They were going
to
work it out, yeah.
Now, obviously, something went terribly wrong.
Yeah.
So we see all this stuff today. I said to Rob, because I heard parts about this, I read part of it again. I said, get me the story. So now I've got the story. Here is now Charlie Sheen's response, his official response.
Good.
I am in shock. Denise's reaction is to a failed marriage, a reaction to her twisted desire to hurt, punish, discredit, to torpedo, to undermine my perception as a responsible father. I'm a contributing father, a guy who would give his life for his kids. The worst part of this is my daughters will someday have to read this. She is the only one entirely culpable for putting these radical allegations out for public consumption.
Wow.
Meanwhile, you'll notice he never said what she said isn't true.
Right.
True.
No denials there.
He never said that.
Rarely is 17 pages of a court document fascinating reading, but I recommend everyone goes to the Smoking Gun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And we should give, thank you, Robin. Yeah. We should give again the tip of the dynamite cap to our good friends at the Smoking Gun. .com. Whenever they get something really good,
right,
they send us an advance copy.
Heads up.
It's pretty good.
That is amazing. Well, I say more to come. There will be more to come with this.
A lot of great stuff in there. And, hold on, before buzzes, this would be a good time, a kind of a transition, because you don't have a relationship like Charlie Sheen.
No, there's no abuse whatsoever, and that really, that's carrying it too far. It's not when reasonable people can work things out.
Let's take Marsha's accidents out of this.
Yeah.
Many falls down the
accident.
Stairs and ladders.
Scooter.
Oh, that's right, the scooter down in the Keys.
Again, an accident.
Some people are saying the failed attempt, Buzz.
I guess that she's talking to you this weekend.
Yeah, we couples take care of business on the weekend, stuff they need to do, concerning the house and that kind of thing. So we certainly are part of that. And I guess at some point, certainly by Sunday morning, if not sooner, the level of discourse had become increasingly unpleasant. Marcia, as I've said before, is known for being outgoing. Opinionated, and these are things people like about her. I wouldn't pretend to ever want to change this about her. But it was becoming increasingly difficult to converse about the simplest, most ridiculous things.
Could you give an example for the court?
I can't. I mean, I'd have to think about it. Looking for papers, looking for financial papers or whatever, and it just...
All right, let's say she's looking for financial
very
papers.
Very small thing.
What was her response?
Well, if we couldn't find it or I couldn't find it, she thought I was responsible for it and I thought she was responsible for it, and but I felt that I was, remaining calm and that she was becoming increasingly agitated. And so, we reached a point where I thought it wasn't very productive. So I said, I tell you what, I think that until the level of the volume and the tension and everything are leveled off.
I'm going to gag you and put you in my military footlocker?
No. See, that would be maybe perhaps what Charlie Sheen would do,
right,
but not me.
Not you. What was your strategy?
I got in the car and went to the store.
You left.
Yeah, I did.
You left.
Yeah.
You fled.
Now, that's a first, right? In 30 years, that's a first?
Yeah, I've never left home before. like that.
Now, you didn't leave forever. You came back.
No, just to go to the store.
But when you came back?
In 30 years, you never left, like, in anger?
No.
Wow.
No.
And
I wasn't angry then. I just thought it was, you know, a good time to calm down, a good way to calm down for everyone.
So you actually had the balls to say to your wife, when you are talking and you are not making sense...
Well, no, it wasn't about making sense. It was about, a stress level.
My words, not yours. Okay. When you stress things out to this point.
Right. Rather than have a calm dialogue, I think I'll just get in the car and, go for a drive and come back later.
How long were you away?
Oh, I'd say an hour or
so. Did you return with a shovel?
No, but I did retire. I returned with groceries.
Oh, that's good.
And then
you came back. Did you buy anything for her at the store?
Poison.
Yeah, actually, I got her the turkey jerky that she wanted. Yes.
The turkey
rat
jerky?
Poison.
Right.
Decon and turkey jerky.
Okay, so when you came back home.
Uh-huh.
What's turkey jerky?
Turkey jerky.
Turkey jerky.
Oh, turkey
like
jerky.
Turkey jerky.
The thing is, Buzz is so easygoing. When he was telling us this before the show today, it seemed incredible that Buzz, not that you would backtalk her, because she didn't run your life,
And vice versa.
And vice versa. But the fact that you said, in essence, hey, unless you can control yourself, I'm going to have to leave.
I'll be out for a bit.
What was the reaction when you got back home?
Well, actually, she called me while I was out and said, can we talk when we get back? And couples do this, and this is good. This is relationships require maintenance, and this is one of the things you do to maintain a relationship.
Have you ever had a similar circumstance where you didn't leave and you thought maybe you should have?
Because you got too upset. There are times when I stayed and, continued to become engaged in that when maybe it would have been better just to quietly walk away.
Would the word be bicker?
Bicker? Yes. Yeah, see, and that's just it. We've never, over the years, had any really big fights certainly not over issues.
Right.
But it's always been this sort of pecking, bickering thing that simmers off and on over the years.
You'll pardon me. When I hear that, and I guess because I am who I am, mm-hmm. It's really it's hard to, in 30 years, never any big fight.
I know, it is amazing, but it is true.
I mean, Christ, I was married to Frida
right.
for almost 25 years, and I think, and she used to play that card on me all the time, and I would react so badly.
What card? What card?
She would say, "You're being an ass. I'm going to just leave until you can calm yourself down."
Just walk away, which would
drive me nuts.
Right.
And I think maybe my biggest overreaction to that, and I'm sad because my son saw this. He was like, I don't know, 7 or 8. Mm. I don't know, I told this on the air before. She got in the car, and I was so enraged. I'm like, "You do not leave now in the middle of a discussion. You do not run out." That I actually jumped on the hood of her car as she was backing it down our driveway.
But was that a big issue, for example? I mean, do you remember? Do you remember the issue at all?
It was nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm hearing...
like light bulbs or something.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
Right, exactly.
I'm hearing what Don's saying. I'm hearing mm-hmm. you 30 years with never a big fight.
Right.
Hearing what Don says, jumping on the hood of the car. I'm uh-huh. looking over at Don and going, normal? Abnormal.
Carrie and I were married 2 months the first time she locked herself in the bedroom. That's true.
No, and here's the deal. And I'm curious, okay, because I'm probably racked with guilt.
Are you curious?
I'm racked with guilt over my failure to, to have successful marriages mm-hmm. here. And I believe that, that one of those things is not knowing how to, to argue and letting things get out of control.
Right.
And not to the point of anything, any physical abuse, but just fighting. And I'm hearing that and going, that's incredible. 30 years, and I'm listening to you. And
I'm as curious about it as anything else.
You had fights all the time, but always pull it back together.
Well,
and
sure.
you've had fights, right?
Seriousness, I mean, even ones that don't escalate to violence, we still fight.
Right. And sure, there have been times where I've gotten sucked up in the excitement, as it were. But I've just decided that I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to remain calm and have normal conversation.
Well, that's probably what's driving her nuts.
See, and you're probably doing the same thing to her that Frida did to me. And you know what I say to you?
What?
Good for you, my man.
I learned from the best.
Good for you. Good for you. Because I know my kid still remembers that. Daddy, what are you doing in mommy's car? Go inside!
Sidewalk surfing.
Leave me alone!
So anyway, we chatted. Were
you splayed down on the hood of the car?
Yes.
Like doing the whole thing where you're hanging on with the...
Swear to Christ. And I was saying like...
And was she not having any of it?
And I said, you're not going to keep driving this car. Yes, I am.
She got it up to 60.
She backed down our driveway. I jumped off and she just went speeding away.
It's like Cannonball Run.
somebody's going to get hurt doing that.
Anyway, way to go, Buzz. Yeah. Way to go. Standing up for all men. We appreciate that. Now, Steven Seagal.
Yes.
He's got a new record out. Did you know he had a record out?
I had no idea that he had a record out.
It's his second.
His second. His first one was a giant hit in Paris.
Oh, let's see. The French love great artists.
This is not a gag. We hope, you know, Steven Seagal is one of those magical guests that you think we would be able to get.
Yeah.
He's such a freaking loser.
He's a loser.
But we can't get him. Mm. We wanted to get him on when he had his energy drink out.
Yeah.
We wanted to get him on when he did his last movie when he wore the Indian clothes.
Remember, we worked so hard and all we got was his spokesperson.
That's right.
Steven Seagal's spokesman.
And now he's got another album, his second album.
Yeah, and now they're teasing us. Now the spokesman that we talked to sent us clips of the album.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're saying we got to have Steve on the show.
Yeah, please.
So you can hear Steven Seagal sing his soon-to-be-hit song. And you should know, he not only writes the words, the music, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Steven Seagal production. Song is called Love Doctor.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
I don't know what was that.
That's Lauren Bacall at the hospital.
That's Lauren Bacall.
Where she got beat up.
Alzheimer's, please.
Okay, here is Steven Seagal. Not a joke. And after this, I'll play you a song called Talk to My Ass.
Really?
This is his song called Love Doctor.
Background
that
singer.
Obviously is not Steven Seagal.
Oh, thank you.
Here he comes.
I was concerned.
Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Seagal.
What?
Exactly what?
What?
Not a joke. New album by Steven Seagal. You want to hear Talk to My Ass?
I sure do. Oh,
please.
Especially after that tour de force.
Jazz blues did
kind of a variation on the way he speaks.
Here are the lyrics.
You're going to have to read them because we don't get to the refrain. In the
I book. Went back home last night. Uh-huh. I told my baby to get up on the road. She looked at me kind of surprised. Suddenly not so cold. I told her, I can't have no more sass. And from now on, she can talk to my ass.
I see.
My baby wishes to grab my ass. I'm the D on the chimney. I woke up this morning.
Is this awful or what?
I have my baby fingers to grab my ass. Yeah.
Have baby fix me some scrambled eggs.
Well, she looked at me kind of surprised and she said, baby, you got your own two pair of legs.
They didn't give us the part about talk to my
oh
ass.
Oh, my God.
They were bickering over eggs.
Here's the other one called Alligator Ass.
Mm-hmm. He likes to use the word ass in his song.
Someone took me to a restaurant and I had to eat something fast. I ordered me some chicken. They gave me alligator ass.
Wow.
Steven Seagal.
Bad meal.
The devil is that you know what I think he said. I was thinking from my tribe to drug me by my company.
Impossible to understand.
This is not disappointing at all.
So I went down to the market. Before I bought some bread, somebody took it out my pocket.
Alligator ass, Steven Seagal.
Now you know why. I had to take it in my hand.
Yeah, okay.
You know, he definitely paid for the background singers.
Yes, he did.
For sure.
And the musicians.
That's Steven Seagal.
I really, really, really hated that.
I thought you would.
Wow. We're trying very hard to get him on the show. And more importantly, we're trying to get the parts of the songs that where he actually sings Talk to My Ass.
Yeah. So he went to a restaurant, asked for some chicken, but he got alligator ass?
Someone took me to a restaurant. I had to eat something fast.
Right.
I ordered some chicken that gave me alligator ass.
It's poetry.
I wonder if he talked to it.
His publicist just sent over some of the lyrics and said, here's a sample. Uh-huh. Enjoy.
You know, I'm not really good at interpreting art, but I would think that that is describing a bad meal experience that he had.
I would think so.
You know, that's
hey, look around, Cafe.
Never at your place.
No, only Vesuvio.
Never at your place.
Novo Vesuvio.
Novo Vesuvio.
Don Giovanni!
Hey! Bravo!
Okay, question now for you, our beloved listeners, all of you idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes to laugh?
This is a wild card. I will tell you right now, this is a wild card contestant for Make Her Laugh. I'm going to be interested to see what happens with this.
We've had this gal on the show since she came to work here. Frankly, we love Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah.
We really do. She's so Kelly Pickler. I mean, she was Kelly Pickler before there was a Kelly Pickler.
Yeah, and, you know, we'll always have fun and, you know, say things to her that maybe might be flying a little over her head a little bit because she's not inside the club all the time here.
Right.
But she's fun and she's a good sport and she always likes to come in here and say hello.
A lot of our fun behind the scenes during the commercials when she comes in to do her work is we say the most vile, disgusting, crude things we can, not to her,
mm-hmm.
but about, like we'll say, hey, for instance, did you hear about so-and-so? And she'll say what? And then we will describe a condition with that person's rectum
right.
in great detail. And she'll just stand there and go, okay.
She will look at us like we are pandas in the zoo.
She's great.
Yeah. And she's really a great bird trainer. And that is legit.
And
I think she deserves credit for being a bird. I mean, really trained birds at one of those theme parks where they have bird shows.
And not only that, I understand, she's also quite the workout fanatic. She works out twice a day, and she has a second job at Starbucks.
And I'm also going to tell you that I don't think she's going to be an easy mark.
No. The game is this, my friends. Make Jessica Rabbit laugh.
Very good.
877-365-3636. Your unscreen calls. Make her laugh. And what do we got today? We got 100... 200, 300 American dollars.
Serious money.
And hold on. What else, Rob? Oh, you're still pushing the NYPD Blue season 3 DVD set.
Yeah,
you're pushing that hard.
Push it.
And from Tower Records, the $50 Tower gift card. Tower Records Life played loud.
And 2 pounds of alligator ass.
Yeah, I ordered up some chicken. They gave me alligator ass.
So you make her laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's $300.
Right.
The $50 gift card from Tower Records and NYPD Season 3 DVD. Own it now. Get it where you get DVDs.
Very good.
Can you make this beautiful woman who has a heart as pure as the driven snow?
That's true.
Can you make her laugh? God knows we try to every day.
Sometimes we succeed. Sometimes we fail.
And I'm not talking about during this stupid show. I'm talking about during the commercials.
That's right.
We really try to make her laugh. And I think it's killer stuff. And sometimes she just looks at us like...
She's going to throw up.
What's your problem, dude? So she's a wild card. Yeah. We really don't know what will make her laugh.
Right. Very good.
Call now. Phone Jeopardy.
And
Is she wearing her Flashdance outfit today?
I hope so. She has a variety of looks, too, which I think is great. Mm-hmm. She comes in here in different looks all the time.
Cowboy boots with a dress sometimes.
Cowboy Jessica, workout Jessica.
Yeah, a lot of times you get the leggings.
Right.
Like, remember Flashdance?
Sure.
Of course you do, yeah.
Absolutely. You never know what she's going to wear. She might come in a robot costume.
Today she's dressed as Queen Victoria.
Yeah, fantastic.
So listen, make Jess laugh, and you'll win the $300 and the other stuff. 877-365-3636. Be right back, you animals.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Premature BOC. Cult of Blue Oysters. Here they are.
The Don and Mike Show.
There we go.
Everybody get out of here. There's a lobster loose.
Not a word, my friend. Just listen to the Don and Mike Show.
Could use a little more cowbell. No, that's Don't Fear the Reaper.
Right.
Wrong.
Right.
That's the bit with Will Ferrell, right?
Will Ferrell.
And what's his name?
Christopher Walken.
Christopher Walken, right. Where he's the record producer.
Oh.
And they're doing Don't Fear the Reaper. And Will Ferrell. Well, I'm sorry, I still love
well,
big and fat playing the cowbell.
I don't know if you've seen the trailer, but if you love Will Ferrell.
NASCAR?
That NASCAR movie,
Seriously,
maybe one of the funniest ones. And he's doing it. God damn it, I wish I remembered the other actor that's going to be the absolute perfect casting.
It's Ben Kingsley.
It's the guy that was in The Perfect Storm that played one of the fishermen in The Perfect Storm. He's done a lot of quirky, weird roles.
Guy,
he's
right?
kind of a chunky guy.
Yeah. Right.
And he is... He was also in Boogie Nights. I think he was in Boogie Nights.
I also forgot to mention...
Is he the guy from Capote?
Not Philip Seymour Hoffman. No, no, this is another guy, a taller guy.
You'd reckon he's very, if you pardon the stereotype, Irish looking.
Riley, John C. Riley.
John C. Riley. And these two, seriously, this looks hysterical.
I saw yesterday the big gigantic cutout in the theater for the new Jack Black movie.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, where he's a wrestler.
Does he have a mustache?
Yeah, and all it is him wearing a Speedo jumping off the side of a building. But it's big and gigantic. And, again, looks great. And saw the trailer for the Will Ferrell movie. And I forget what his name is.
Billy Bobby or something.
It is the perfect NASCAR name. And he's sponsored by Wonder Bread. I mean,
and it's just so many different. And it's from the people, I guess, who made Anchorman. So it's going to be silly.
It'll be great. Right. Did you see the ad for Cars? Cars! That's the Pixar movie.
Oh, the animated?
Oh, yeah. Now, I guess I'll go see that. You know, it's like got Paul Newman's voice in it and maybe Owen Wilson. And it looks
I'll take the kids to see it.
The graphics look cool, but I'm starting to get a little burned out on the Pixar stuff. Mm-hmm. Right.
They played a dirty trick with Cars.
What?
They put that trailer on the Incredibles DVD, which came out 13 months ago. Mm-hmm. Robert has been chomping to see Cars now for 13 months.
Yeah, but I think it'll be better than the average crap that's out there.
Yeah, because
the animated.
It has a voice of Larry the Cable Guy in it.
Rob, pleased to be bringing in Jessica Rabbit.
Yes.
And let's put 10 minutes on the clock for Make Jessica Laugh. Now, please be gentle with this kind soul.
Can I show her my finger?
Like you don't every day?
Hey, Jessica.
Hello.
You want to see my finger?
No. Yeah.
The cut finger?
Yeah.
All right. Here you go. Hold on. There it is.
Oh, that's not that bad.
Okay, that doesn't faze you.
See?
Good. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Jessica. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
You're doing great. Now, let's see if we got the background correct. We are very fond of you. You're a sweet girl. You come in here during the breaks, and we say awful things about people, and you let it roll right off. And we say things to get a reaction from you. You let it roll off.
I think from day one when you came in here, we just liked your personality, the way you came in here, and the way you were very, very bubbly and kind of, you know, if it was on your mind, you were talking about it. We liked that right away.
We like your cowboy boots.
Yeah, I don't have those on today.
We like your flash dance outfit. We like the days when you work out. When you wear your workout clothes, and
I like the album of bird photos that you brought in that one day when you were talking about training birds.
I'm not crazy about your MySpace page, only because that's creepy for losers, and you're not a loser.
I'm not a loser.
You're not a loser. I mean, really, I was on your MySpace page, and your friend list sucks. You should get out of there.
Everyone I know that I'm in contact with every week.
Well,
that's a lot of friends.
Well, it's a lot. But if those are your friends, you need to get some better friends. But it's just one man's opinion.
And incidentally, you happened to find the MySpace, didn't you, when you were just doing your regular search?
And then I sat and really worked it.
Well, yeah,
you were there.
I did the search.
Did the search.
Jessica, I'm just embarrassing you. You have a great MySpace page.
Do you need to hear better, Jessica?
It's a little too loud.
Not too loud?
Oh, now I can't hear you.
How's that? Can you hear now?
Yeah.
Right now? Yeah, it's amazing. Let me explain how to see this knob right here. When I turn this down, it actually, you know, kills the volume. Can you hear okay now?
Yes.
Is this too loud?
No, that's... Oh, my gosh.
Whoa, sensitive ears.
Yeah. Right. Jessica, that's the volume knob I discussed with you on the way in.
You just said by the headphones. I was looking for it.
There it is. It's right over there.
Well, that's where it is.
Very, very good.
Now you know.
I don't think you need MySpace, to be honest with you.
I don't.
No, you don't. Look at you. You're handsome. Jesus Christ, you're full of life?
I think that this appearance on the show today is going to be a tour de force. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. The deal is this. You like to laugh, Jessica.
I do.
We're going to take calls now. Feel no pressure to laugh at anything. We've done this segment with people before, like Yanni. Yanni Norman?
Mm-hmm.
He's the worst at this. Right. We had him on like five times. No, it was maybe three times. But at least two. Mm-hmm. When we went 10 minutes and nothing made him laugh.
But you know, he was true to his convictions there. You gotta compliment him for that.
So don't worry about it. If nothing makes you laugh, don't laugh. If something makes you laugh, go with it. You ready? Okay, let's put 10 minutes on the clock, Rob.
I've got it. It begins with the first caller.
10 minutes.
You see that bank of phones over there, Jessica? Those are all the people that are waiting to talk to you.
So here we go.
To make you laugh.
Friends.
Let's see if we can make Jess laugh. And here we go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Make Jessica Rabbit laugh.
Okay.
Well, this is a really cute joke. A father took his young son to a livestock auction to buy a horse. And the dad's checking out the front flanks and the chest and everything. And the little boy says,
"Bye!"
You will find, Jessica, that
we don't have a tremendous amount of patience.
The ADD.
I don't have a tremendous amount.
Do you have the ADD too?
Yes.
Good. Yeah. I find that sexy in a woman.
We were all looking out the window at that moment.
So whenever you want to, if you want it, you can just say, "Lose this caller."
Okay.
I'll respect you even more. It's my favorite part of the show. Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Jessica laugh.
The young man went up to his father and said, "Hey, Pop, I have $20 for a BJ." Father thinks for a second. He says, "I don't know. Are you any good?"
Okay, see, that's how we play the game.
I should point out to our listening audience that we're getting some nonverbal stuff here. You can't hear it on the radio, but Jessica just shook her head.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Make Jessica laugh.
Yeah, Jessica.
Yeah.
You got to say hi to the people, Jessica.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, Jessica, back in World War II, do you know how the Germans invaded Poland?
No.
Well, they walked in backwards and said they were leaving.
Well, shut up,
God,
bye.
Rob.
Bye-bye.
All it had to do was have to do with Germany.
Right. I know.
God, go polish your plates.
The Crooked Cross.
It was Rob's day, we'd be done.
The Crooked Cross,
the Nazis flew.
Hello.
The hammer and the sickle, too.
He's mentally retarded.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, make Jessica laugh.
Okay, String walks into a bar. Bartender says, "You know, we don't serve your kind around here." String gets up and walks out. Goes around the corner, goes down to the barbershop, gets himself a new frayed haircut, ties himself in a knot, walks back in. Bartender says, "Aren't you that same String that just walked in here?" He says, "No, sir, I'm afraid not."
Okay, good for you, Jess.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Very discriminatory.
That was stupid.
It was really stupid.
Hello there.
Feel free to say so.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Feel free to verbalize your feelings about these jokes. If you're angry, if you're disappointed, instead of shaking your head or just being silent.
I'm trying to concentrate.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Make Jessica laugh. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Jessica?
Yes?
Do you know the difference, or do you know what tastes good?
No.
Bye!
Jessica, I would like to apologize for that language. That is not acceptable.
Where does that word come from?
That is horrible. Sorry about that.
That's an ugly, ugly word for a woman's Daisy.
Please do not consider that a reflection on us. That is simply a random listener.
Daisy.
I won't.
That's the code word. Daisy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Guy walks in the psychiatrist's office wearing nothing but Saran wrap shorts. Psychiatrist takes one look at him and says, "Clearly I can see her nuts."
That was stupid.
Now she's editorializing. We're off and running.
Dot and Mike, make Jessica laugh.
Hey, Jessica, I heard that the president has figured out a way to make gas prices go down to 33 cents a gallon.
Okay. Yeah,
got to ask him how.
How?
I don't know.
That was retarded. He's completely retarded.
Well done.
There you go, Jessica. See, now, how does it feel to have a woman who's as pure as the driven snow saying the same hurtful things that we say?
Isn't that amazing?
What does it tell you?
Truly amazing.
We might be right all along about you people. Hello there, Don and Mike show. Make Jessica laugh.
I might not be a smart man, but I know what Rob is.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Sometimes you'll get pop culture references.
Yeah, and he was doing kind of a sketch.
Hello.
Okay.
You're on Make Jessica Laugh.
Hey, Jessica, how you doing today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, what's the fastest thing in the world?
I don't know.
Ethiopian with a lunch ticket.
Bye!
Oh, man. Yeah, the Ethiopian joke's very dated.
It's Circus Sam Kinison, right?
Yeah, really very old.
Go to where the food is.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Are you there?
Hello?
No, forget that guy. Hello, Don and Mike. You're on with Jessica. Make her laugh.
Hi, Jessica. How you doing?
Fine.
All right, got a quick question. Why did Michael Jackson call the musical group Boys and Men?
I don't know. Why?
He thought it was a home delivery service.
No.
Oh, man.
Did you get a little chuckle out of that one?
I never heard it before.
Oh, you've always been a connoisseur of the Michael Jackson jokes.
You know, I even like still, 50% off boys' shorts, at the Hat Company. Hello.
That's an old joke.
Very good, Jessica.
That's right. Hello, make Jessica laugh. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Jessica.
Yeah?
You know why women like 77?
Why?
Because they get 80 more.
That's retarded.
Bye!
5 minute mark.
5 minutes.
Hello. You know when Rob does that? It reminds me of Charles. Is it who's
Durning?
Charles Durning
in North Dallas
40. He's drinking the Maylock.
Yeah, 5 minutes.
Hello, Don and Mike. Make Jessica laugh.
What do you call one black or one white guy and 10 black guys?
I have no idea what.
Quarterback.
Again, that was.
He should be ashamed of himself.
Rob, you're not laughing at that one, right?
That's right. That's
ashamed of it. He wrote it. I mean, ages ago. It's some of his oldest work.
It's old material.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
In his underground books.
Pre-Warren Moon. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Jessica.
Yes?
Why do Mexicans always make tamales during Christmas?
I have no idea.
So they at least have something to unwrap.
Oh, didn't make her laugh. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Didn't make anyone laugh.
Make Jessica laugh.
Horrible.
Hello. I love this segment. I love it when it goes bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost better when it goes bad.
Yeah.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
4 minutes.
Jessica?
Yes?
Three moms were discussing the contents of their daughter's purses. The brunette
Wait. Your phone dropped out. Their daughter's what?
Yeah. What did she
say? Three moms are discussing the contents of their daughter's purses.
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 Okay. As opposed to the other word we had to delete out.
Right. Yeah. See, I was surprised. You got that.
Purses.
All right.
Yes.
They're deleting the content of the purses. Go!
The brunette mom says, I found cigarettes in my daughter's purse. I can't believe she smokes. The redheaded mother says, oh, my gosh, I found a marijuana joint in my daughter's purse. I can't believe that she smokes marijuana. And the blonde mother says, I found a condom in her purse.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think we can.
I don't.
That's not going to make the light of air.
Are you hit the dump on that?
Yeah. That's an
obvious
one.
Did that make you laugh, Jessica?
Not really.
It made me laugh,
kind of. It was kind of cute. And you know what? I kind of like the marijuana joint. That was I kind of enjoyed it.
It was best so far, but it made me laugh.
Hello, Donna Mudge. We had to delete out the best part.
Yeah.
It was about penises.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Make Jess laugh, please.
Why did the man with one hand cross the road?
I don't know.
To get to the second hand shop.
That's retarded.
To get to the second hand shop.
Come on.
Okay. Made me go.
And he even had the right inflection.
He did.
Because if you said second hand shop, that wouldn't work. The second hand shop.
Hello. Don and Mike, you're on Make Jessica Laugh.
I can make this garbage can laugh. Hello.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you know, it was a pump right from the beginning.
Sorry, that should have been not. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi.
What happened when Cinderella got to the ball?
I have no idea.
She choked.
Oh. Oh!
She laughed. She definitely laughed.
Now, there are some audible laughter.
That's a good joke. I may have even heard it before.
Winner.
I still thought it was funny. And you did too, right, Jessica?
Yes, I've never heard that.
That is a good joke.
Yeah.
It's tight, it's right, it's out of sight.
My friend, what is your name? Any idea?
My name is Gus.
And Gus, where are you from?
From Boston, Harford County.
All right, so you're listening on Live 105 HFS in Baltimore, right?
You got it, man.
Right on. Well, listen, my friend, you get $300 in cash, you get the $50 Tower gift card, Tower Records, Life Played Loud, and you get NYPD Blues Season 3 on DVD. Get it now wherever you buy DVDs. Thank you for making Jessica laugh.
That's awesome, guys. I'm not gay for you guys. I hate to say it, but thank you very much.
That's a nice little tip in right there.
Remember, pitching, not catching.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on a second.
I'm going to put my vest back on because of that call. You know what? Yes, Don and I laughed more than any other joke we got today, and you laughed too. I like it when it works like that.
Mm-hmm. Jessica, look at that. It worked for you.
Yeah, it did.
You're a big winner.
Congratulations, Jessica.
And now you've got some great jokes you can tell those loser friends of yours on MySpace.
Yes.
Then you
I
remember,
won't remember half of them.
You won't. Do you tell jokes?
I try.
Are you a joke teller?
I've had the same jokes for like 5 years.
Oh, do you have one? Do you have a favorite joke?
No, not really a favorite. They're stupid.
Do you have
they're
one?
For losers like my MySpace.
Could you tell? He doesn't. You know he doesn't mean that.
No.
He doesn't mean that at all.
I know that.
Yes, I do.
I don't care.
No, I'm kidding.
Do you have a real stupid one? And if you say it's stupid, then it can be stupid.
I don't think they're jokes that can go on air.
Oh.
Can you use initials?
No.
Like a guy put his D?
No.
Yeah.
No. It'll sound stupid.
How about a riddle?
No.
How about a limerick?
No.
A pun?
No.
No.
A double entendre?
Okay, don't say difficult words like that.
There's the Kelly Pickler we wanted right there.
Thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica.
Good job. Bravo.
That went well.
Yeah. Nicely done. You did great.
Thank you.
You did.
You're a minx.
There she goes.
Just like Pickler. She is the best, isn't she?
Pickler. That's it right there.
You know what she is? She's a full-grown Pickler. You got what I'm saying? She's a woman. Pickler's a girl.
Oh, ho.
Oh,
ho.
Did I do that?
You're killing me.
What, Robbie?
I'm sorry I was gone. I had to explain to her the Cinderella joke.
She laughed.
Yeah.
She did laugh.
Oh, she got it. Oh, she got it. Okay.
Okay. Jerome Pickler.
FGP. Buzz.
Hi.
Hi, Buzz.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
There he is.
It's me.
He made it up.
On a very short leash today. Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
What are your lead stories on news and comments tonight?
Tonight, W says gas prices are gonna be tough. The Pope considers the condom. And something shaking down south, but it isn't a vibrator.
Okay.
Stay tuned for news and comments
coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Two big segments of Buzz tonight. That's very
balltacular.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
A handsome man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this. And more.
Yeah.
The cure for your malaise. The Don and Mike Show.
Now, when are they going to use this as a theme for the next CSI? Because, you know, they use the Who song.
Right.
And I get the one with CSI. Who are you?
Who are you?
I get that.
Makes sense.
Right, because they're looking for clues.
Exactly.
Now, the Miami show, they use Baba O'Reilly, you know, Teenage Wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
get the connection.
Or is that the one for New York? What's the one for
that's
Miami?
New York.
Ah. What's Miami? Miami
won't get fooled again.
No, that's... hold on, yes. It's so. Who Are You? Right. Won't Get Fooled Again.
Almost.
Which is, again, okay.
Yeah.
But then Baba O'Reilly...
Yeah, they ran out of songs.
Yeah, they can't use any more songs.
I mean, go with Squeeze Box. It's got nothing to do with solving crimes.
For Miami or for Las Vegas or New York?
Any of them.
Which one of those? Is it, you know, William Peterson, Gary Sinise... Or, David Caruso. Which one has the squeeze box?
But as far as the chicks on the show, mm-hmm. I think the best boobs of the CSIs come your way on CSI Miami.
Hmm. With, what's her name?
Well, not even the...
Emily Proctor.
What about the guy with the cane? He's got a nice rack.
I love the chick on CSI Miami who talked the mortician.
Oh, yes.
Like, Candy Alexander.
Candy Alexander.
She's got just...
The one that talks to the dead bodies?
But she leans over and just
what happened to you, honey?
Puts those big, beautiful brown jugs right in there for that. Oh, baby, what happened to you? And there's always the obligatory scene of the chicks on the beach playing volleyball.
Yeah. Sure. The CSI Miami, I think, has the best POAs on that on a regular basis.
That makes sense.
Use Squeeze Box for CSI Stockton.
Before it washes into the sea.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Because
incidentally, when Sacramento
goes,
but it could happen tomorrow.
That announcer,
tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Very subtle, isn't he?
It could happen tomorrow.
Sacramento, California.
But they, and everyone else in Sacramento, may not get the word to evacuate until it's too late.
We didn't even play all the tapes from the Weather Channel yet.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Tomorrow we'll preview everything.
Oh, good.
It could happen tomorrow about the demise of Sacramento. And now here's a Buzz Gurdley. Hello there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A person's right to diddle using small handheld devices is quietly vibrating deep inside South Carolina tonight. State lawmakers are considering making it a felony to sell devices used for adult stimulation. The bill would make selling these toys an obscenity crime punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. 49-year-old Wanda Gillespie of Columbia, South Carolina, has been selling this stuff for 20 years.
Who's Gillespie?
And she says it saved more than one marriage. Her customers include church-going people and a pastor. She says the folks trying to put her in prison are probably some of the same folks who buy their toys on the Internet.
What's her role? There's a...
It's 49-year-old Wanda Gillespie.
My name is Greg Gillespie.
I don't know if there's a relation.
Gillespie. G-I-L-L-I-S-Pi.
No, she spells it Gillespie.
Are you ready for this?
What's that?
I wrote a book and I'm an idiot.
Thank you, Greg.
I have a shocking mane of red hair.
What, Greg?
Rock on, baby.
Okay.
There he is.
Say hi to my old friend.
There's his old friend.
Oh, there it is.
The strap-on.
Fresh battery.
He likes you.
Okay. Thank you, Greg.
Talk to him, please.
You want to talk to him, Mike?
I got nothing to say to him.
Say that again. Louder?
Mike, I got nothing to say to you.
Ah, very nice.
Oh, you.
I like to do things by myself.
A lot of people do. That's why this toy thing's a controversy.
Who are you again?
Greg. G-R-E-G.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
There he goes. Quoting toy seller Wanda, flabbergasting. We're in what's supposed to be a free country, and we're supposed to be adults who can decide what we do in the privacy of our own home.
How does it smell?
It smells like you.
Before. No.
No?
What's your name?
Well, I don't want to talk to you. There, now you're talking.
I am an important program director.
Yes, you are.
What does that mean?
That means I direct programs.
All right, bye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Moron.
Goodbye. You're not funny. You're not funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Sick. And while we're talking about down south, the governor of Georgia has signed a bill that allows the teaching of Bible classes in public high schools. Although about 8% of America's schools already allow Bible classes, Georgia is the first state to support it financially and academically. And five of our other reddest states are considering doing the same. Or they may wait and see if Georgia gets another ass-kicking from the federal government, just as it did on the subject of teaching evolution.
Georgia?
There will, of course, be a flurry of lawsuits.
I just got Georgia on my mind.
You going to go with it? And teachers will again be caught in the crossfire.
That is an old sweet song.
But the good news is, we're not dying so much. A new report shows the death rate in the U.S. has dropped by a lot. More than it's dropped in nearly 70 years.
Watch out for Rob. I keep waking up every day saying, Hugh's alive? I keep saying, yep. Jesus Christ, beat the odds again.
Damn. A lot of people did. We had 50.
All those years, you imagine living without a spine.
I know.
Imagine that.
It's truly, most people really would never have made it out of the nursery.
No, and it's not like he's got a wheelchair or anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just crawls on his belly to his car.
Well, he doesn't crawl, he's taken to his car.
Have you heard about the new movie starring Sam Jackson?
No.
Michael Hughes is on a plane?
I get it.
You get snakes on a plane?
Uh-huh. Yeah, all the users are down in the cold, and then they get up into the regular cabin.
That's right.
I'll see that. I will see that movie.
Of course you will.
Snakes
Everybody
on a
will.
Plane, I will watch that.
Right. You know, the thing is about Snakes on a Plane, it's gotten so much hype
right.
for being such a cheesy, baby. First off, from everything I read, Samuel Jackson was not going to be in the movie until they decided that the title was going to be Snakes on a Plane.
He required it. Yeah, he required it.
And you know how you were telling me that when you took your kids to see the American Idol movie this weekend?
Right, which sucked. You know, it's gotten these great reviews. Mm-hmm. Don't be fooled. Sure. I thought it was a piece of garbage.
You mentioned that it had the F word in the first 5 seconds, and mm-hmm. how could it be rated PG-13?
Yeah, because I'm really a little wary when I take my kids to a PG-13, and right at the beginning, he says he's having an exchange with his girlfriend who he's breaking up with, and Hugh Grant just lays it out there.
The rule is you can have one, two make it R-rated.
Okay.
And I know that with Snakes on a Plane, people wanted to see, people from the internet who have like had this underground campaign for this movie for God knows how long, they really want to see Sam Jackson, what was the quote? Say something like, there are effing snakes on this plane, and in that Sam Jackson way, I want to kill every effing snake on this plane. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Wanted to hear him speak Pulp Fiction dialogue,
right? Yeah, so the movie got an R mm-hmm. because he said the F word more than once, and then they put in some more gross scenes. They went back and did like three or 4 days of more bad stuff.
I just saw a still from the movie where he's holding a snake. And
yeah, more graphic. Thank you, Robbie.
The snake looks like something you would find at, like, you'd get at King's Dominion.
Now, when you saw American Dreams, how was the Green Goblin in it?
Hi, Spider-Man. Yes, I shaved my head and put on gray hair.
William
Spider-Man.
William Defoe plays Dick Cheney, right?
Yeah, I'm the assistant to the president.
But aren't you really the Green Goblin?
I'm the Green Goblin, Spider-Man. Beware.
There were 50,000 fewer deaths in the U.S. in 2004, a decrease of 2%. Came as a shock to everyone, since Americans on average are older and fatter than in previous years. And yet, there was a drop in deaths related to cancer, heart disease, and stroke. So maybe the credit...
I'm not here.
Maybe the credit goes to doctors and the prescriptions they write.
Next question.
One expert says he's not just surprised, he says it's historic.
Don, baby, how's it going?
There you go. New poll.
What is it?
Is the Pope about to rule that condoms are okay to stop the spread of AIDS? He has on his desk a plea from a cardinal to ease up on the whole no condoms thing.
Yeah, Mark McGuire is really into that.
And there's no question there that I'm giving it some thought there, Donnie. Thinking about going back, retracting, whatever. Yeah, you know, your condom basically is essentially prevention of disease.
Right. I'll give you the genesis of this. Mm-hmm. Even though the new pope is German,
yeah. Well,
you might think we would go with the German accent.
Yeah, right, Donnie boy. Most people would think that's the direction we go with him.
His given name, his real name, not his pope name,
right.
Sounds something like Ratzenberger,
yes.
Which, of course, was Cliff from Cheers.
I'm glad you explained that, Donnie. Now everybody should know I'm... this is your Pope Benedict, all set to go with the repeal of the condom law, and you can thank me later, Buzzy.
Thank you. Thank you, Pope.
No problem.
In fact, several cardinals have recently pointed out that condoms... not as bad as AIDS.
Yeah, your original condoms made from skins of animals.
That's right, lambs, yeah.
I've lost my accent since I left the Rhineland.
I noticed that.
Yes, Germany, Rob's favorite place there, Buzzy.
And the Pontiff has heard about the rising cost of treating AIDS patients at Catholic hospitals.
Yes, big-time expense. Got to look at the bottom line here.
That's
at the
right.
Vatican. Got to make sure the costs are kept down.
The Pope has appointed a committee to make a decision to be announced soon by the Vatican.
One of the things I do when I right after I put my robe on, I delegate. That's what I do.
Are you going to ask Norm and Sam to help you?
And get them over here. We'll get Normie. Hey, Normie, come on over here. Help the old Pope Benedict. Got to repeal the condom law. Going to be big doings in the Catholic Church. Lots of problems. Mucho Papo De Niro. Yes, sirree.
And prisoners don't get AIDS as much as you'd think.
That would be Popo De Niro. Yes, Popo.
A new government study says 90% of the HIV-positive men in the system were infected before they arrived, almost always through contact with women.
We'll always agree on one thing there, Donnie, though. I know your little thing you repeat. I like that.
Not an entrance.
Boy, I love that. Keep preaching the gospel of that for you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kraut.
Appreciate it. Pope Benedict, signing off.
Take care.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen, Schnell, Schnitzel, you know, Lederhose and all that.
Auf Wiedersehen, Herr
Ratzenberger.
Roethlisberger.
Very good. Great talking with you. Please, sir, remember just one thing. Well, Hitler bad.
Hitler
there
bad.
We go. I'm on record.
The 17-year-old study of prisoners and AIDS said about three-quarters of the men behind bars say that any same-sex contact they had behind bars was consensual. That means only one in four was raped. And the study says that half the men who got infected behind bars included as their partners the prison guards.
The guards.
And the guards. We're going to play the guards.
Oh, look. It's the guards.
Look at that.
How you doing? Huh? So,
how about the guards?
Think you're so smart on the radio, huh? Come over here. Little BCS. Body cavity science.
You're going to be one of the four. One in four. Here you come.
Americans.
It's a dollop on my foot. Now lick it. Lick it.
That's how that started.
Like the lady's mom. Like the idiot's mom lady did.
Yeah, it looks like a Hershey Kiss.
It does.
Only white.
All drippy, with a little Q-tip on top. little curly Q.
The government also observed 420 Day last week in its own way, and that's our story when we return.
Okay, Buzz.
Dollop.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
It's
huge.
Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, you see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show.
Very scary, kids. And I'm not kidding you this time. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Now, once again, the beautiful sounds of ELO. It spells L-O. Here it is.
Here is Buzz. Hello, Buzz.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, the government used last week's 420 observance to declare marijuana medically useless. This declaration from the Food and Drug Administration flies in the face of a recent review of the weed by a panel of highly respected scientists. The FDA says enforcing the ban on medical marijuana.
No.
They say enforcing the ban, not its job. They say that's DEA work.
How are you, Joe?
Fine.
How are you feeling?
Great.
Okay.
And a Supreme Court ruling last year allows the government to arrest people who use it for medical purposes. The National Academy of Sciences says marijuana is, quote, moderately well-suited for chemotherapy-induced nausea and
this
AIDS
is Larry Michael,
wasting.
Westwood One, Notre Dame Radio.
Now, hold on a second.
No, he's against it.
He played that just as I was saying AIDS wasting.
No, he
that Larry Michael
that.
Did.
AIDS wasting.
Quoting a medical professor at Harvard, this is another example of the FDA making pronouncements driven more by ideology than by science.
Hold on, I missed the whole AIDS thing. What
they said it's well-suited for chemotherapy-induced nausea and AIDS wasting. And that happened at the same time Larry Michael was speaking.
What's AIDS wasting?
That's where your body wastes away when you have no appetite and you lose weight. You become
nasty.
Very gaunt and thin.
Okay, I got
and you know what? If you're in that situation, you ought to be able to take whatever you need to take.
I know, agreed.
Right.
So why'd you pull the Larry tape?
Because Larry passes on grass.
Okay. Thank you.
In a surprising nod,
I could in a detailed way explain why he picked the tape. It would be very, very boring to a listening audience, but some people might be fascinated. And that indicator would mean you're not going to hear that explanation.
Go ahead.
Well, the reason he picked the tape was to, in some small way, in a very hateful and hurtful way to Larry Michael and his family, insinuate that Larry smokes dope.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Rob.
Now you know.
So it has nothing to do with AIDS.
The Larry Michael tape. It was coincidental that they occurred at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And when in truth, really, Rob knows that nothing could be further from the truth.
Exactly. And therein lies the comedy.
Larry doesn't even take aspirin. He's a good boy.
That's right.
AIDS waster.
Larry Michael.
When you said it, it's like, I was thinking it was a... It's like wasting AIDS.
Well, yeah, no.
Like, who's saving them?
I was,
you know what I mean? It's like, hey, you're really bogarting those AIDS, man.
I was quoting a doctor, and that's what they call it.
Okay,
so I had
gotcha.
To use his words.
I understand now.
In the 1970s, when you and I were growing up, if somebody had a diet and was eating those candies,
AIDS diet
say
candy?
They had half left in the package and threw them into the trash, that would be AIDS wasting.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I would... Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, my friend... Mike O'Mara.
Thank you all very much, Mike. Thank
He'll
you.
Be wearing his baggy Vito leather vest on his motorcycle on his way home tonight.
I'll be popping that on momentarily. Hey, thank you for the meat tray. Appreciate it.
You can put it on now.
You and Rupert G. have a good time.
Thanks, Rupert.
In a surprising nod to the obvious, the president has observed that it's spring and that gasoline prices are going up even more. In fact, the president's predicting a tough summer and that the government can't do much about it.
I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. And
okay.
Quoting the president, we're going to have a tough summer because people are beginning to drive now during tight supply, end quote. The president said this as he toured a lab in California that's working on the hydrogen-powered vehicles Bush referenced in a State of the Union speech, his way of reminding us that when it comes to energy policy, he's pedaling as fast as he can. How in the meantime can he make us feel all better? He could tell us the government on his watch invented the iPod, and you thought it was Apple's idea. In a speech at Tuskegee University, W. said, quote, the government-funded research in microdrive storage, electrochemistry, and signal compression, they did so for one reason. It turned out those were the key ingredients for the development of the iPod, end quote.
He is all about the iPod. That's like the one invention that he tracks with that he thinks is the greatest thing. I got all this stuff on my iPod.
Has one and he uses it.
How do they get them all in there, Mamo?
Man, this is fantastic. I have my Travis Tritt right in my iPod.
How do they get them all in, Mamo?
Don't worry about it, son.
And you know, it's not the lack of good music that's keeping the record labels down. It's illegal downloaders. Like the Walls family of Rock Mart, Georgia. Those bastards stole from artists when they illegally downloaded Poison, Bob Seger, Journey, and Jewel.
When the walls come tumbling down.
The Walls family selfishly pilfered...
Another brick in the wall.
...copyrighted material. And somehow, they did it without a computer. The Walls family doesn't own a computer, but that hasn't stopped a lawsuit from the Recording Industry Association of America, or NAMBLA.
Sugar Walls.
It's one of 3,500 such lawsuits just in the last 3 years.
So these people, the Walls...
have no computer.
They have no computer.
They're being sued for illegally downloading music.
Do you think the mom's hit the wall?
Probably.
Think she's that old? She's hit the wall yet?
The Walls family.
Mm-hmm.
Cougar.
And the Walls came tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
Ion Paola, CBS, and three other big radio...
CBS? You say CBS?
I did.
Yeah!
CBS.
Yeah!
And three other big radio conglomerates are now facing the biggest federal Paola investigation since the congressional hearings of the 1960s.
Bravo!
What does this mean to you? Not much, really. It's just fun to see the big guys squirm when, in fact, somebody done somebody wrong.
CBS. Certainly, basically, spineless.
The charge against CBS and these other broadcasting companies, receiving cash, checks and clothing, and other gifts in exchange for playing certain songs on the radio without telling listeners about the cash, checks, and other gifts.
Yeah!
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Again, we're excited. We're going to be on Super TV.
I can't wait.
We got a deal almost as good as Opie and Anthony's.
That's
so we're excited. We're thrilled. Thank you, CBS.
CBS could be screwed.
Uh-huh.
This buzz? Yes. It's so catchy. I could just listen to that jingle all day.
Go all day.
Well, anyway, this whole business of accepting gifts in exchange for playing records, this makes the listener believe the song is popular or it wouldn't be on the radio. Therefore, the song must be good and maybe they should download it from iTunes. The FCC is now asking for documents from CBS, Clear Channel, Entercom, and Citadel Broadcasting. Broadcasters say this whole thing, a fishing expedition, that it's frightened stations out of adding new music, which hurts the diversity of the music we hear.
Please, what a load of crap.
Exactly.
Stations never play new music anyway.
Right.
You know, listen, when I was in music radio, Paola was a big part of it.
Right.
It's a big part of it now.
Yes.
It's a fact, you know, it's like what Tony Soprano talked about, if you go in the joint, you know, you're going to go gay, but it doesn't mean you're gay.
Right.
You've got to do it because you're there.
No choice.
If you're in the radio business and you're in a position to play records that influence other radio stations, mm-hmm. it is a fact of life. The record company is going to try to give you some they're going to give you the old J-O, whether it's, like it was in my day, D-R-U-G-S's, mm-hmm. or fancy jackets, or trips somewhere, or the always popular C-A-S-H.
Mm-hmm.
It happened then. It's happening now. Deal with it.
They are.
All I want to know is, where's my share now?
Yeah.
Where's my share now?
We are exempt because we work on a talk station.
It's because now here I am, 30 years, 25, 20 years later out of that, I would just take the cash now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many spins I gave and put right up my nose.
Mm-hmm.
What an idiot. And a spin, incidentally, is when you say to the record company, yeah, that's good. Yeah, we'll play that record. We'll play it 25 times a week. Oh, you bet. Fantastic. Love it.
Clear Channel says its own internal investigation.
Why didn't I get the money?
All in the book, right?
That would all be in my
book. All in the book.
All be in my book. Shannon would always take the money. Well, not always.
It's all right.
Not always.
The statute of limitations has run out on
that. Hello.
Clear Channel says its own internal investigation shows no widespread wrongdoing, which, of course, implies pockets of wrongdoing.
Clear Channel's already done an internal investigation?
Yeah, they got it covered.
They always seem to be ahead of the law, don't they?
First on the scene.
Isn't that wonderful?
When we come back, a segment I call Give Me Shelter.
Okay, thank you, Buzz.
This is the Don and Mike Show.